our May the 18th meeting. If Reverend Womack is in an open prayer.
I'd be honored to. May I bow our heads in prayer, please? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day. We thank you for this community, this township. And Lord, I pray now tonight as we go forth with the meeting, I pray, Father, you bring just a wonderful spirit here. We thank you for the passing of the police levy and the fire levy months ago. And Father, the people of the township have spoken. And that's what the meetings are for, is for us to speak and share our hearts and to do it in a very professional and a community manner. Lord, I pray for these three men up front, that you give them wisdom, and discernment, and your decision-making. I thank you, Father, for the secretary and all the work that she does also. But Lord, bless this time we have together, and may we work together to bring the benefit of this township. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, John. Everybody stand with the pledge. Yes. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
And Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Nothing to do on any of the minutes. There's nothing there. There's no reading on the table.
Then you are down to number 7.
Number 7, welcome new officers. You want to hold off on that until you're up?
Well, they need to get back out on the
Okay. Let you introduce them.
Chief, tough chief.
What's that?
Back out on the road.
Thank you, everybody. I'm going to get out of your guys' way. All right, what we want to do is introduce the three new officers that went from part-time to full-time status. Eric Ratliff. Thank you. David Pollock. David Woody. And also our new sergeant, Sergeant Moore.
Now he's going to throw you out on the streets.
Party's over.
I guess they want us to get a hug.
Hug. They look like the hugging kind.
I'll even shake your
hand. Oh, cool. Thank you.
We have a guest speaker tonight is newly elected chairman, county commissioner, chairman, Kevin Boyce. You're up to...
Did I come to the podium? Or
you, sir? Yes. You're good there.
I hate to have my back to these kind folks.
They can turn around. It's not wheels.
It's mobile. Perfect. Well, first of all, let me say thank you for having me here. I'm just so honored. My name is Kevin Boyce. I am your new Franklin County Commissioner, and I'm so excited to be working with you. No longer than 10 seconds after I entered this building, I was getting worked on by your trustees for more things. And so that, to me, says that you've got some really good folks representing you, and I'm really looking forward to working with you. I will say this. Let me give you a little bit about my background so you can understand kind of how I'm approaching serving as a county commissioner. Before being a county commissioner, I served about 4 years in the Ohio House of Representatives, representing the 25th House District, which is Northeast Columbus. And so that's a very urban, very blighted. It's probably in the top three districts in terms of poverty ranking in the entire state of Ohio. So I represented that district for 4 years. Prior to that, I served as the treasurer of the state of Ohio from 2009 to 2010, or 2011. Prior to that, I served on Columbus City Council for about a decade. Now, I know you're all thinking, there's no way I look that old to have done to serve on council that long, but I'm much older than I look. And so what that should say to you more than anything, though, is that I spent a good portion of my time in the urban core of Central Ohio. And so as a county commissioner, I've really been working to spend more time out of the city of Columbus and really trying to learn and understand what our role is as a county to the townships, and more importantly, how we can enhance that role so that the relationship is stronger and better, and that we're providing you with the things that we need to so that your quality of life is where you want it to be. And so I'm committed to that. I was looking at the map, and Ralph was showing me an area in particular. I won't go into the details of it, but showing me an area where the township is looking to create a joint economic development district. And I love those kinds of concepts because it really creates a partnership between the city, the county, and the township to really make sure that we do everything that's best for that community. And everybody gets to own a piece of the pie, if you will, a piece of that, you know, the casinos out there. And there are plans to do a lot of other things out there. You've got Westland Mall redevelopment, and there's no reason that Franklin Township shouldn't be able to benefit from that, both from jobs standpoint, from a some kind of tax benefit standpoint, and then just the relationships in general, the business relationships that should be created. And so I think that's an area where I excel in, and that's bringing people together to have those conversations. So I look forward to a really healthy relationship conversation with you. And quite frankly, I just have an open door policy. I'd love to hear from you. I'm sure I will hear from your trustees. I know at least one of them I hear from a lot. But I'm sure I hear from your trustees where I can be helpful. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear, you know, where we as commissioners are doing a good job or are not doing a good job. And quite frankly, I'm more interested in where we can improve. And so I want to encourage you to, I'll leave some cards. And I want to encourage you to call my office when you think I can be helpful. And even if it's not something that our office covers, I'll do my best to point you in the right direction and do what we can to respond as best that we can. I'm so excited to see the levy passed and the officers being made full-time. I mean, that's a quality of life kind of issue. And that's the kind of thing that makes a difference, because I don't care what poll you take, I don't care who you ask, safety is the most important thing when it comes to quality of life. And so knowing that you've got some folks that are on the beat around the clock makes a difference in how you feel about the community you live in. And so I know working with our Sheriff's Department, I'm very hopeful that we can make sure that you get everything you need and that's successful. I'll take a minute for a couple of questions, maybe. And I do apologize, I'm going to leave. I actually was in the hospital yesterday. And so I had an allergic reaction to something, and I'm still kind of getting over that. And so I'm not quite 100%. So this is my last event of the day, and so I'm going to go and take this rest of the day to try to get healed up. But I will take a couple questions before I go. Is that okay,
sure.
Trustees?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Any questions?
Okay. I knew you were going to ask a question.
Absolutely.
You just had that look on your face.
I got four eye contact the whole entire time.
I know.
No, it's all good stuff. You know, I've been a Franklin Township resident my entire life, with a 40-something, we'll leave it at that. And I cannot recall when we've had a county commissioner at a meeting.
Okay.
So I thank you. I thank you for coming. It's important to us to have that connection as a resident. Because sometimes I feel as a resident that when they talk about the county commissioners, I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're so disconnect, you know. So I thank you wholeheartedly for being here.
Sure.
You
know, I appreciate
stepping
that.
Stepping forward and doing something that maybe your other colleagues on the board have not yet had time to do, or maybe they've done long ago and I don't recall. So I don't want to, like, say, throw anybody under the bus.
Sure.
But from just my memory, I don't recall there being someone here to actually engage with the residents. So thank you.
Well, I hope that this won't be the last time you'll see me. I mean, I do, you know, it is a big county, but nonetheless, I do plan on making a regular stop here. And I know Ralph will tell you, we've spent many, when I was on council, we worked very closely together on a number of things when he was with the area commission. And I'll tell you, you know, I'll come in whenever you call me. I will never deny that unless I have a conflict schedule. But you call me, I'll be here, and we'll try to work through the problem best we can.
All right.
Anybody else?
Thanks.
I have a quick one, if I can. I wanted to give you my card. I just would like to speak with you at another opportunity. I know I've sent 18 records requests over the last year and have yet to been any response. So maybe we can have an opportunity to get together and talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure. Absolutely. And, I, you know, so they send a report of all the records requests around to the commissioners, and for the life of me, I don't understand what it, why it takes us so long to respond to those records requests.
I had a sheet of breakdown. I don't have it with me. I thought I did, but you know, I'd love to have an opportunity to go over it, in regards to the sanitary sewers, etc., and share with you and ask questions on behalf of our residents that I've been working on for nearly 2 years. We can't get nowhere with Mr. Renner and things of that nature. So I think that would be a great conversation sometime if I can come to your office, meet here, or take at least 45 minutes of your time and show you what I've got and see if you can get us some resolution.
Sure. Yeah, so a couple things. So Ralph and I are already planning a tour of Franklin Township. I mean, because one of the things that I'm a more visual person myself, and so it'll help me if we drive around and I'm able to really look at what's in Franklin Township, what's not, where the issues are, where we need to address, what's been sort of been held up for a long time. I have my staff with me. We'll take pictures. We'll write it down, and then we will follow up, and you have my word on that. And so we'll start, you know, we're going to do the tour. We're going to schedule that. The water and sewer issue is a big issue, and it is a complex issue. And since I have been with the commission, away from politics, I'm a finance person, investment banker and a finance person. And so I deal with those kinds of projects away from my public life all the time. And for me, I got one basic rule. You know, yeah, we have to provide a lot of things and services as a county, just as a city does, just as a township does. But clean water and sanitary sewer conditions are, to me, a priority. And those are things that are non-negotiable, and we have to find ways to address those things, and even if it costs us a little bit. And so it is a conversation I can tell you we're fully immersed in right now. It's complex for the county because all over Franklin County, so Columbus, which dominates Central Ohio, as you know, has their water and sewer system. And then the county is essentially responsible for providing everything else. And so what's happened over time is you've got a lot of water systems that are disjointed and antiquated and just over time have gotten old and need repair. And then you've got, you know, folks have done the best to keep them up. And over time, it's just kind of, it's all starting to become a problem. And so we are thinking through right now the best way to address that broadly. At the same time, I don't think it's okay for you to have to wait around for that, you know? And so we've got to pick up the pace. I am the new guy, and I will tell you, I know they've been having these conversations for quite some time. They've invested in some studies. I've read through all of those studies that have been produced one so far. There's one that's being done right now. We're looking at some things, so waiting on that one. But I think that we should go ahead and dive right in to the questions that we need to make sure that you've got what you need. And so as far as your records requests, I will personally, have my word, it's on tape, I'll personally follow up on those and find out what's the holdup. Sure. You should be getting those records. Right. And then I also commit to a more direct conversation. We'll get Renner and down the table and the trustees, and we'll talk through where things are, where we're headed, and maybe just try to see if we can get some resolve on some planning. You have my word on that.
Sure, because I know Brocious, our attorney, is basically at the point sent a letter of intent to sue because we're not getting the records requests.
How long ago did you put those in?
I wish Melissa was here. I had a whole sheet that says like, starting this date, this, who it was to.
It's been a long time.
And it was before your time. And it's been 18 months.
And he's been going on a long time.
It's been 18, and I address it every week. I address where I'm at. I mean, this right here, what I ended up doing, thanks to someone in the audience, come across where we wanted to see the grant application and things. Where we're the biggest issue with this is that we're looking at is this was paid $11.5 million, the sewers that are going into the areas that we're in now. $11.5 million of that came from a federal money from
stimulus
money. Thank you. We understand if your driveway's bad, you have to replace it, you pay for it. Your gutters come off your house, you need to replace it. You have to bring the line around from the back of your house to the street, you got to pay for it. Where we're having a lot of people, including myself, is you're a money person. Why does that person have to pay $3,800, what they're calling a capacity fee, when 98% of this has been paid from what I've got from, because they would not share the information, I went everywhere I could guessing and finding out where the money sources come from. Working with Morpsey, they were able to get me a complete blueprint. At what point is a capacity fee necessary? At what point, percentage-wise, when you are collecting federal monies that all of us pay, 80%, 90% is paying for the project, is it necessary to have the capacity fee? In the meetings that we went to, Mr. Renner explained to us that the capacity fee was going to be going to the City of Columbus to better their facility in order to handle the growth. I contacted the city, and they said that's not true. I've been working with Michael Stenziani and his office and his aide. They got back to me and says, we can't even take that money if they sent it to us. Called the Ohio Public Commissions, spoke with them. They're explaining to me, Mr. Fleshman, in order to them to take money, it has to come a small portion of your bill for the rest of however, you know, life is for further improvement. They don't take the $3,800 up front and to do that. The other concern that we have is some people fall into a place where if you make under $11,000, you can apply for basically getting this covered. But when you have the person that has two kids in college, middle income, and they have to put $3,800 up front,
yep,
before you can even start the project, you're mandated to do it, and you have 1 year to get it done.
I got to tell you, I got a kid I'm sending to college
next so
year, and I got another one that's going to high school next year, and I could not afford a $3,800.
Everyone that in here that's bill. Heard me talk about this, and I've been working on this for 18 months, I understand I would never ask the county to pick up the cost to run it from the back of my property to the front. I'm only adding additional value to my home. But to be mandated and say you're going to pay the $3,800 and you're going to be paying 50% more for your sewer bill because whatever reason.
Well, let's have a conversation.
I would love to. Maybe we can get somewhere.
Willing to do that. I'm willing to do that. And this is what I do know about water and sewer. It is expensive.
No
matter how you slice that pie, it's an expensive endeavor. But I'm also on the other side of this where I feel like it's the most important thing that we can provide and that we can help our constituents have. And so we've got to figure it out so that it works for everybody. I'm not as much immersed in the cost to the county as I am in making sure that our residents have clean water, access to clean water in sanitary sewer resources. And so let me try to put together a meeting for the conversation. I've talked with Renner a couple of times about the system in general, not so much Franklin Township, but let's have a meeting. you know, I can host it at my office.
That'd be great.
Get them there, and we can have a conversation, and we'll come out and report to the public about, you know, just what came of the meeting, and we'll figure something out. We'll try to figure out a solution to the challenge.
When I reached out to him, his response back was, I'm fulfilling my duties. No such records exist. This right here is the complete cost analysis of the whole program and how much money. There was a grant that paid off a loan, a 30-year loan at $669,000. Then there was a grant to pay that off. From what I can see, with everything that I have broke down, because I only got it from one source, is 100% of this project has been paid with stimulus money and grants. So
take a look at it. Yeah. Take a look at it and see.
My main concern is where I live, they already came and replaced our water, so our water comes from the Dublin treatment. We're up on North Hague. Our septic tank is running fine. There is nothing wrong with it. We do our service on it when needs be. Why are we would be forced to hook into the sewer and then pay that 50%? Now, down the road, if it fails, then pay my money to tap in. I just don't understand them forcing us to tap in just because you guys are putting it in. Our septic tank is fine, but it was told, we're just going to condemn it. It needs to be sucked out, put sand in it, and crush it. You have to do this. And it's like, excuse me?
No,
my water is fine, but that's what they're telling us, people that have septic tanks. There's a couple people have put new systems in, and now they have to crush them and tap in. I don't think that is right.
Or they're going to condemn the property.
Or they'll condemn your property if you don't tie in. It has been told to us. I say, if your system is working, let it go. But down the road, if it fails, then you need to tie in. You should have to tie in if it fails.
We should have to pay to have it mutually checked, meaning if I want every year, if I want to pay a fee to have someone of a mutual party come out, inspect, is this system working fine? I would be happy to pay that myself, within a reasonable amount. To have a third party come out and do an analysis, is their system working, and type of thing. So, because there is a lot of people that have homes that the systems is working, they put aerators, and it's expensive when you replace one of those. So, you know, this is something I'd love to talk down, share with you, because we've got nowhere, no one would listen to us. And again, yes, we're Franklin Township, but I just got my property tax today, and I'm paying taxes to Franklin County.
Well, you know, again, you always have me to listen.
I mean, sure, I appreciate
that's why I'm elected to do. I can always promise I can get you what you want.
Right, I'm just listening to all we ever ask.
And I think these are fair issues. I think that, I mean, there's nothing that I've heard that's not a reasonable conversation to talk about a reasonable solution. So let me organize
your
meeting.
Yeah. That'd be great.
And that'll be where we start. I promise I'll come back and we'll report. When we report back to the public, I'll be here for that. And we'll just start to dig into the issue. I don't know how long this will take, how long this conversation will go. But I think your questions are legitimate and fair. And we've just got to, I mean, I was talking to some folks about the casino and that whole area today. And I was saying, you know, what about, you know, Franklin Township? You know, and they explained to me how the casino was annexed into Columbus, and you know, so on and so on. And so my question was, well, what about all the revenue that came from the township? Yeah. And they said, yeah, the township kind of got, you know, cut out.
Yeah, that's another. But originally, that had sewer.
But see, that's the thing. That's got to stop. That kind of thing has got to stop. You know, that when we do something like
that.
We do something like that, everybody should be able to share in that prosperity. Everybody should be able to get a piece. Yeah, I understand the logic of them tapping into Columbus, annexing to Columbus because of the water and sewer taps, and it's a large entity that's going to have.
But they already had water and sewer.
I know, I'm just saying, I get how this conversation works. But even still, with all of that, the township should be a part of whatever is happening. And so as stuff goes forward, you know, that's going to be the voice that, you know, I'm going to be pushing for that. Hey, what about the township? And so let me commit to this. And this is on tape, so you got it. Commit to host a meeting with Renner, and we can start the conversation about the water and sanitary sewer conversation. I also want to commit to, there is some planning going on in that region right now for an economic development. It was brought to me that the JED is requested and the city hasn't responded. I will also commit to a meeting to try to further that conversation as well and just move it along and see where you are. I love the idea of a JED in that area because, again, it's the whole idea that everybody gets to participate in being a part of some growth and some of that activity. And so so you have my commitment for those two meetings and then a report back on what came of the meetings and just where the conversations go.
All right, thank you so much because I wasn't going.
I'm going to let you have this. It is the revenue. City of Columbus promised us $750,000 every year.
For the casino?
For our payments. They've only paid the fourth quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year. This is all I can appropriate because that's just about all they gave us last year.
And they're supposed to give you $750,000?
Yeah, that's what they claim.
Correct.
It was promised, put in the paper, and Mr. Cook could, I've got copies of the checks, and that is nowhere, $125,000 is nowhere near $750,000.
What that means to the township is we would be able to have, if we seen that money come in.
We wouldn't need a levy.
That's right.
That, and also we could have full coverage. We just saw three officers go back on the road. There's going to be some spottiness here and there. Well, that could be taken care of with some of that monies that could come in.
They say that they're not getting the revenue to pay us that, but it's not our fault they opened up all those casinos. Racino, if you take Racino's revenue and the one here and put them together, then it comes to what their figures were. It's not our fault that they opened all that. But when the city of Columbus took over, we are not seeing the revenue that they have promised.
Okay. And I want to thank you because I wasn't expecting, department trying to bring that up or not bring that up because it's a subject.
He was here at the very
beginning. Thank you for listening to me. I know you said that you know you're not on top of your game right now with your health, and so thank you.
No, absolutely. That's my job, and you know, I appreciate being invited here so that I can learn more about the township. I promise we're going to do this tour, and I can't wait to. We may stop by your homes for some lemonade or something.
We'll give you a cup of coffee.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll stop by, but I'm looking forward to that, and please know that I'm your county commissioner. I work for you, and so. I don't have a magic wand and can't make it all just occur, but I work for you, and so I'm going to listen and do my best to respond. And so I've got my orders as three, so I think that's quite a bit. So we'll get back to you immediately. You should hear from office tomorrow about the dates for the tour as well as our meeting. We should really get that.
Appreciate you coming out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to get out of here, too.
If I may just say one quick thing, I have known this young man since he really was a young man. And he's always been extremely ready to work with me on whatever needed. And for that, I thank you, Kevin. And I think he knows me well enough to know that we'll try to get some things done. And I feel very confident in that Kevin and I could work really well together and as well as everybody else. And the new mayor, too.
Yep.
We have a good experience over time with them. I've watched them both grow into the bigger and better things, really. So I thank you for what you've done for me in the past. And just one other thing I wanted to do. I don't know if you remember or not, but see that little fair-haired lady in the rear there?
Mm-hmm.
She just turned 95.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And she was
the round of applause.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
and she's served with us all through the commission. Mm-hmm. You know, I served 12 years on the commission, and she was with us.
It's an honor to even know her.
I know, it is.
But anyway, I just thought, being a mama's boy.
Circles around all of us.
Oh, yes.
She being a mama's boy that you are, I thought you might want to say hi along the way.
She does the National Night Out. Yeah. She's also got the Block Watch. She does
Southwest
a lot
Fair
for the community. It's amazing.
Wow. And the first Tuesday in April is Juanita Coleman Day in Franklin County.
Yeah, we have a special day for her.
She's I thought you might want to know that, Kevin.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I love meeting folks like yourself that really define the richness of Central Ohio. And everywhere I go, there's somebody just like you that is just amazing. And the community wouldn't be the same without that person. And so I'm really just grateful for all that you do and thankful for that as well. So maybe we'll have you come up to the commission sometime and say hello to us at Franklin County.
Get her there.
I'll be ready to bring her down anytime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I can feel better. Good.
Okay. Bills and
resolution.
Bills and payroll.
Okay.
She forgot to put it on the sheet.
What's that?
The bills and payroll on the sheet.
I don't have the best way to do this, but before I read this, I have issues with Brocious's bill. So if I go through and read this and get a second and we approve it, then it's null and void.
Okay. It's up to y'all. I'm just writing notes.
Ralph, I gave you a copy of Brocious's bill.
Oh.
There's one for you, Don.
Well, I got one already.
And I had a question in regards to the telephone calls with Mr. Cook in regards to the JED, since Ralph is the person that is handling that, I don't see why we are paying for Mr. Cook's conversations with Don Brocious. We got 30 minutes on the 14th, 20 minutes on the 17th. We have 20 minutes on the 24th, reviewing and advising on the JED. And clearly, Mr. Horn is the point person for the JED, and he can advise us every meeting of the JED instead of paying out to an attorney on a phone call when we're spending taxpayers' dollars. Because we're about to read off $3,497.41 in attorney fees. Now, grant, that's not just from talking to Mr. Cook. That's just the total for the time, for everything in the township.
If you dispute the bill with Mr. Brocious, you call him and tell him that you dispute his bill.
Well, I'm dispute. Well, then is he going to send you the bill for that time? Because that was something that was not okay by the board to spend money, taxpayers' money, for you to be talking about the JED when right here is where we could be talking about the JED. And Mr. Horn is the appointed person, and we made a resolution for that. Unless you want to pay that portion.
I'm not going to sit here and discuss it or argue with you, John.
I'm not trying to argue. I'm just trying to...
If you dispute the bill, call Mr. Brocious and tell him you dispute the bill.
Okay, so then at this point, Ralph, I'd like to make a motion.
Well, let's do this. What was the motion?
Well, I don't know if we need to make a motion or a resolution that... I'm not disputing a bill. I mean, the gentleman needs to be paid, but I don't think that we should be paying a bill because one trustee wanted to have the conversation of something that you clearly, one person only can work on the JED, right. And that's clearly you. It'd be no difference if I did that.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is to, I don't know, we've never had this before, so...
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't think the taxpayers should be flitting a bill for a phone call that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, double conversation, yeah.
Lisa?
Yes, sir?
I'd like to have a copy of the last 2 years of Bruce's bills.
Last two
years, copies of Bruce's bills.
Years of Bruce's bills.
for the next meeting?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Does Brocious know who, like when one of you call, does he know, like, oh, I can't talk to you about that, I need to defer to so-and-so, like, does Brocious know? Are we educating the person that they're actually receiving the call?
Not
I mean, there might not be anybody's fault if he answers the phone. Don's called him before. I'm not trying to be devil's advocate here. I'm just saying.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good question.
Does the attorney know the protocol?
Well, I think 2 or 3 years ago they wrote a resolution that if you called the attorney,
you had to have
a second attorney know that, I mean, a second board member know that you were calling.
But does the attorney know that?
We can go back to a resolution and a motion made about 2.5 to 3 years ago that the chairman was the only one permitted to call the attorney. And since then, everybody has been calling whenever they want. Nobody abides by the original motion.
Maybe that's education on the attorney where he can call.
I'm not here to discuss this meeting. If you dispute the bill, you call Don Brocious. Let's move on.
Ralph, what do you want to do?
Well, I think we need to get an understanding, at least, is how we're going to.
Well, I say we go ahead and approve it to be paid because it's not.
Well, I mean, we got to pay the bill.
Exactly. Yeah. But as far as who's going to be responsible
for
this particular portion, and then again, guess what?
And
we'll have to check with our attorney to see, or we can check with the prosecutor and see if Mr. Cook is responsible for that portion of the bill.
Yeah.
So,
more than welcome.
So what I'll do is go ahead and read Resolution 17-134. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves payroll in the amount of $144,792.85 and bills in the amount of $22,532.72 from, a grand total. It went in the wrong line.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got it. $167,325.53 from check number 4217. To check number 43015.
You need a second, please?
Okay.
John?
Yes, with the stipulations that we're going to continue to look into who's responsible for those times on that.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Make a motion to pass Resolution 17-135.
Yep.
It's from the Road Department for seasonal help.
I'll second that.
Okay. John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
What was that number?
135.
Make a motion to pass Resolution 17-136. It's FMLA for Melissa.
I need a second, please.
And does it say what type of FMLA?
It's an off and on.
Ongoing.
Intermittent.
Intermittent, yes. I'm sorry.
I second that. Discussion?
Discussion on that. We're going to have a little meeting there tomorrow.
Not having a meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, why not? Well, yes, sir. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow.
There's nothing close to it.
It's right there.
Where?
It's outside.
No, it's not.
It was there when I came in.
It's not there.
Go ahead, John.
I need you to go pull the tape because I made sure it was there when I came in, and Melissa showed me she put it up.
John. We're not having a meeting tomorrow.
We are having a meeting tomorrow.
No,
yes,
sir.
There will be a meeting tomorrow.
I have checked through all the legalities and everything, and the attorneys are on board. We are totally legal. We are having a 1 p.m. meeting. Whether you attend or not, we do plan on having the meeting.
Taking it down doesn't justify,
absolutely
Mr. Cook,
not.
That
it's
we're not having the meeting.
It's not posted.
Did you take it down?
It's not posted.
Is it there?
It was there when I came in, and Melissa showed me she put it up. So it was there. We do have cameras that show that, so we can see if someone took it down.
Hold on this FMLA right now, John.
I'm sorry.
let's table this FMLA.
That's fine.
I want to see the extent and have a discussion on it tomorrow.
Okay. I'll need a motion to table it.
I have a motion to table it until we have our meeting tomorrow.
17-136 FMLA for Melissa. I need a second, please.
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Don?
No.
Ralph?
Yes.
Motion passed resolution 17-137, off of full-time position for Aaron.
I need a second, please.
I'll second that.
Did you guys want to also put in there her pay scale?
Is her scale going the same, or I guess it's open to
discussion?
Well,
it's after the 90 days, you guys.
Do we have a pay scale for her? Does she? I mean, she gets after her 90 days and comes on full time. Isn't there?
Yes, sir.
I was reading. Sorry. I can read what she gave me to read if you want me to.
Okay.
I would like to ask the board to extend an officer, or an offer, sorry, full-time employment to Aaron Chrome as our receptionist effective May 25th, 2017, pending a positive drug test result.
Positive.
Positive. Negative.
Negative.
A positive result. Just reading what she wrote.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean.
She's the secretary?
Right.
You're our chief.
Did Melissa do a review, because that's what they did for Connie, and then guys moved him up so many pennies and dollars.
Yeah, and it says the receptionist pay should remain the same, and it can be addressed for an increase at her 6-month mark.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Okay.
Okay.
I need a second, please.
I'll second. I think I already did.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
Make a motion to pass resolution 17-138. Give FMLA for firefighter Benjamin.
Table.
Second that.
I was going to ask a question. And this is, we don't know dates.
It's
pending.
It's sometime in August, but the birth of this child, if they know for a fact now that he's going to have to go out of town, get his child taken care of in August.
Okay. And John seconded. John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Just a quick question. What was, I didn't understand, was there a period, what period of time was it?
His baby's due in August, and that's why he's requesting.
Oh, okay, got you.
There's
no,
yes,
okay, yes.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Motion passed resolution 17-139. Put the Dodge Durango on .gov deals for a minimum bid on $100.
Need a second, please?
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Did we take anything off there that
Ralph
we could salvage?
Because
there was
the
tires and stuff, wasn't there?
The balance bid. I still have my tire system in the barn from the last.
So it doesn't matter if someone will get it worth $300 worth of tires.
It doesn't run.
Right.
It's just dead
in the barn. No, I mean, the bid will start at $100, but it could go up.
It's worth $500 on a trade-in right now.
The road department, Kim Stevens.
You say Kim?
Jim Stevens.
Road
I had a couple things on the agenda for this evening. Probably the main one that I need to touch base on is, in the past meeting we talked about our salt situation transferring over from the 2016-2017 year. By the grace of God, we did not have a very bad winter, but with that brought the fact that we were under contract with ODOT for 225 ton of salt to take delivery of. We only had to take delivery of 90% of that, which takes us down to 202.5 ton of salt. We are under contract with ODOT that we have to take that delivery. If we do not take the delivery of that, we will no longer be permitted to join into the ODOT contracts moving forward, which would be extremely detrimental to the township, because if we can't get salt, we can't do what we do for you on your roads. Cargill stepped up because we're not the only people in that situation with an abundance of salt. I commend the three guys back here. I don't think we could get 5 more pounds of salt in our salt shed. We've got salt in there, then we had to go buy a tarp and literally shove the tarp in to hold the salt in place out there. With that being said, out of the 202.5 tons, that is actually the 90% of the contractual amount of 225 tons. We have taken delivery of 124.12 tons. We've used through this past winter and what we ended up being able to shove into our salt shed. That leaves us with a balance of just a little over 78 tons of salt. We have no place to put it unless we put it in our driveway out here and cover it with a tarp, but by Ohio EPA rules, we can't do that. And I don't think we have enough residents that would allow us to put it in their garages. So and we're in a situation where Cargill has stepped up and they've decided that they will store it for us going into next year. We do not need to pay for the salt. I was kind of thinking what would end up happening with that 78 ton of salt. We would have to pay for that up front, and then now they're going to charge us to store it. But what Cargill's going to do to keep a burden, because, I mean, there's people out there that, you know, our 78 tons, nothing compared to 3,000 ton of salt that they got to put up. So what Cargill's decided that they will do is we will not have to pay for our 78 ton of salt at this time. We will only have to pay for that going into the 17-18 season when we take delivery of it. But what they have offered to do is charge the townships and the other entities, it's 12 cents per ton to store our salt out off of 670 with that big mound of salt that they've got out there. So that averages out to, we should get a bill in June. It's going to be approximately right around $940.56. And what that cost is what Cargill is going to charge us to store our salt. If we did not go into the storage program and we just decided we weren't going to take that salt, we would not be able to get into next year's ODOT salt contract, which I have already entered into. And to kind of give you a little bit of a breakdown, every year I try to go into contract with ODOT for anywhere between 225 ton and 250 ton of salt, because we have averaged that out to where that's a pretty good amount of salt on a normal winter for us to do what we do on our roadways and still have a little bit in the salt shed to carry us over into the next year. Now, if you go back 4 years ago where we used 545 ton of salt, we had ran out of what we had and had to go begging for more. Let's hope that that doesn't happen. So if you take the 78 ton that we have that we're going to have to get stored, and the numbers are going to work out pretty good. Keep in mind that 225 ton to 250 ton range. The 78 ton that we're going to have to get stored, we figure we've probably got about 80 ton jammed into our salt shed. Plus that 78 ton, it's about 158 ton. We went into contract with ODOT for only 100 ton going into the 17 and 18. So that's going to get us right into that 250 ton range. So didn't go overboard with the new contract for 17-18. So we're praying and got our fingers crossed that we're going to hit that number pretty close. But I just wanted to bring to the board's attention. I know I told you I would hear back from Cargill and find out what we're going to do, but that is what they have offered to do. I had until the end of the month of April to either take delivery or make a decision. I've been in contact with Tony DiPietro from Cargill, and he has worked us into that. We will go into the salt storage program.
Sounds
good. $940 is actually a small
dollars to get you out of a jam. You're
that's a small price to pay to keep us out of never being able to get salt again.
No, absolutely.
Now, just for reference, if we were not to do this and we were rejected out of the ongoing ODOT contracts that I get into every year, the county, we paid $42.35 a gallon or a ton this year through the ODOT contract.
the county is more than happy to supply us with salt for $59 a ton when they are paying the same amount per ton that we do. So it's just a no-brainer to stay away from doing that and make sure we cover all of our bases.
So exactly. How would we get the salt over there, Jim? Just have haul it over south, or?
Oh no, they'll deliver it to us. As we use it out of the salt shed, we make room. I'm jamming that thing full again, and these guys can fight it and get it back up in
gotcha.
There.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine. They did. It's you walk around the side, you'll see they don't pull the tarp out because you'll get covered with salt.
Yeah, I haven't been back up from that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea. Let them do that next winter. That's pretty much it on the salt contract. Anybody got any questions on that? Now, we will be getting the bill, like I said, right around June, 1st of June, for the $940.56, whether you all need to make a motion. So once I get that bill, I can just give it to Lisa? Or how do you want me to go about doing that?
Just send it in as a regular PO?
Just a regular PO. It's under the $1,000.
It's under $1,000?
Yeah.
Okay. That works. Good deal. The other thing that I have on our agenda for tonight, and you've already touched base on that, which I appreciate the board's assistance on that. You passed resolution for our summer help, part-time summer help, which we are getting ready to get into. We've sent out 70-some letters already in House Bill 50, and I think the last time we looked, Ron, how many was on that sheet? There was probably almost 30.
Oh, my, yeah.
30 yards that have now timed out, and we're starting to knock them out as we're taking care of other things. We've been bombarded in the last week and a half with major drainage issues. We've completely had to replace almost 50 foot of drainage down on Fredericksburg. We were up in Ongaro area today. We've got another issue we have to take care of tomorrow. We're getting strapped, and we're going to explode sooner or later. And these properties are starting to really start to build up. I know I was speaking, up in the Broadlawn area. There's quite a few up in the Broadlawn area. They are on our list, and at any time you can call down here and talk with Aaron if you have one, or send the letters to myself, the address to myself. Majority of the time we're pretty much on that because we're constantly running around and taking pictures, and then I'm sending letters, and it's a vicious circle. But you did pass resolution. The gentleman's name is Ryan Philippi. Here's his name, and this is a copy I made for you, Lisa. This is, I sent him in Tuesday for the drug screening, and it came back
negative, not positive.
It came back negative.
So, negative, not positive.
No, I mean, Jeff,
she wants a secretary.
Is that the only help you're going to need is just one?
I want to start off with that, John, because I don't want to bury myself. I mean, I know that we do, and these guys, I have to praise them so much because they help me with our budget. We've always done so well staying within our means. They have rules that they have to stick to on that. No, our budget's in great shape, but I do believe that we will be able to. This is really going to help us because now, which comes into my next page, we should be able to go with having that fourth person. Now we can go two different directions. I don't feel comfortable for a safety issue sending somebody out with a zero-turn mower and a trimmer on their own. We run into too many things. You've been on there and you've seen what's happened.
Well,
we've had some people get very close to getting hurt.
Yeah.
I just, as a safety issue, their safety is my responsibility, and I make that call, and I won't do that. So now we can be able to go out in two different directions.
Right.
What I would like to be able to do is bring Ryan in starting on Monday. He would come in by the contractual through their contract. If you look down, it's going to be at the very low rate, at the very starting rate, and it's $14.56 an hour.
And again, if you have the time where, as I've always offered, if you're just slammed one day, you let me know, and I can always come in and help with anything that I can.
Anytime
like I've done
anybody
before.
Would like to put on a pair of work boots, you are more than welcome. I'll make you a cup of coffee and we'll go.
Oh, I'm not paying your work boots.
Ron, bye.
With that being said, does anybody have any questions on getting our new guy? He is passed.
Okay. The only question I really have, Jim, is what the status is going to be starting off summer work. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. Yes.
On the computer.
Well, we're going to start it off this way, Ralph. I guess if I'm going to look at the full picture on this, you know, we beat our budget up. We've got our budget to where we need it. You know, we never had to go to the residents and ask for, you know, levies and help. We live within our means, which we pride ourselves on.
Yes.
And our budget's been doing, we're sustaining, carrying over, we should be fine. Unfortunately, here almost 3 years ago, we had to lay one of our gentlemen off. I mean, everybody's in this whole family thing as a family. And when it happened to my other counterparts, my other brothers within the township, I felt that it was something that we needed to do to follow suit. To help out, things are starting to really look up, you know. And like I said, I'm in it with these other two gentlemen, and we make things work together. At the end of the summer help, and at the end of what we're going to consider seasonal help, I will be sitting down, which I do almost every day, anyhow, with our budget. And I've got a daily printout that I do. I know exactly where we're at. If our budget can't handle it. At that time, I will come back to the board and possibly think about just keeping somebody on full time. No pun intended, Ron, but the youngest guy that I have working in my department is 63 years old. Sooner or later, I need to start looking at, because we've got a couple that are going to probably retire within the next year or two, and I really need to step back and with Mr. Philippi, who I've known this gentleman for quite some time. A very hard worker, great family. If you recognize the name Philippi, hence Philippi
Road.
And it
used to be a farm up there, I believe.
It was his great grandfather. I used to play out there. It was his great grandfather's cattle farm. But what I would really like to do at the end of this is reassess it, bring it back to the board. I will bring my financial status where we're at within our budget. And see whether or not we should be able to make this work. And if we can bring him on and keep him on full time, that's not just looking at that specific time. I'm looking
beyond
down the road. Sorry. I mean, it's a reality check that I have to do.
Absolutely.
Somebody coming in with already CDLs.
Exactly.
And somebody coming in with all of the qualifications that we need. He's an equipment operator, an extremely great equipment operator for a 19-year-old boy. He's got
if it works out well, it'd be a great future for us, that's for sure. Yeah.
How old is your oldest employee?
Oh, dear.
Is that a HIPAA violation?
Well, if one is that.
I'm not going to say the number. I'd let you say the number because that's
in the room. Right. Oh, he's in the room. Never mind.
If I live to see September, I'll be 7.
Wow.
No, I'm not.
You don't look it.
But that's all I have for my summer help. Does the board have any questions on that? Residents have any questions on our summer help? Please bear with us on this because we need it.
If no one has any questions, I have something I'd like to bring up to the board. And
I have a question. It's not something.
I've got a couple more things here.
I'd sent an email out probably 2 or 3 weeks ago recommending a pay increase for Jim Stephens. And a parity in Jim's pay as compared to his men is very tiny, really. And we aren't over blessed with a lot of money, but at this point in time, I'd like to give recommend Jim for approximately $3,000 annual pay increase. I don't know if it's ever been done other than his normal yearly or whatever increases.
And well, the amount of money that he's saved the township with his skills tearing down the homes and what we've been able to accomplish, he's never asked for anything.
And Jim,
are you making a resolution?
Yeah,
I'd
like to make that in the form of a resolution to increase his pay effective next pay period Lisa, if you want to work out the exact numbers on it, it would be in the $3,000 range.
Congratulations.
You're feeling a little awkward, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've worked for you all for 9 years and I've never asked for anything. I love the job that I do.
Well, he's appreciated for sure, and it's certainly worth squeezing three ways.
Hans even up on his feet back there.
I need a second, please.
I'll second that, gladly.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah. 9 years.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Oh, jeez. Now I'm all choked up. Thank you very much for that.
Well, you're certainly appreciated, John.
You know, it's
and that was resolution 17-140.
I can't get into that. That's awesome. Okay. Next thing that I have is, and it was brought up when we were talking about trailers for gov deals, you were talking about putting your thing. We still do have the big yellow, in the 9 years I've been here, we've used it twice. The big trailer out there that I've put on gov deals now twice that we use to haul the backhoe. The majority of everything that we do, by the time we would load the backhoe on a trailer the backhoe to where we need to work something, get it off the trailer, do our job, get it back on the trailer, we could have taken care of three other projects by roading it the way that we do. Now, we just had to put, there's going to be a bill coming through, we just had to put new tires on the backhoe, which has lasted us over 3 years, so.
4 years, yeah, almost 4 years, because it was January when I came on that we did that.
That trailer out there, the first time I had it on Gov Deals, the highest that the bid got was to $3,900. I had a $4,500, I think it was $4,700 minimum, so it didn't hit the minimum, and we had to take it back off. I put it back on. This time it only made it to $2,900. We've done some changing on it. I've not put them back on Gov Deals again. I've lowered my minimum on that and still through the bids. I've had quite a few questions on it. I would like to, if we could get over a little over three, it's a 1983 trailer. It's in great shape. It really is. It's a triple axle. Electric brakes work, lights work, everything works. The guys did a great job putting a whole new bed on it. It's a great trailer. So we've got a lot of people very interested in it. I'm hopeful that we will get to that $3,000 mark. If we can get to that $3,000 mark, I would just like to be able to say, can I take that?
Yeah.
Can I take that?
What did you say your bid was?
I see no reason. It makes sense.
I mean, I know Mr. Cook and I, and I respect everything that he was saying, as he and I sat and talked to him because we have a little bit of knowledge on the trailers.
Right.
In the beginning, I mean, we were thinking $6,000, even more, that we would be able to get in that trailer. But realistically, we're not getting those bites.
It's for the age of it.
Yeah.
Even though it's in great shape.
Everybody's looking at the 1983 and look where we're at today, and
yeah.
But it is a very good trailer. If we can get into the $3,000 range, I would like to accept that bid. We have been out shopping now because what we would like to be able to do, which I referenced a little while ago, is to be able to send two crews going two different directions with a mower and a trimmer. If you can get one guy on a mower and one guy on a trimmer, we can knock a lot of properties out. Last year we mowed almost 130 properties, and we are on 32 things, Ron. On 32. We are on track to do a lot more than that this year. We've got a lot of new properties that we never had in the past and a ton of repeat offenders. So to be able to take the trailer that we were looking at is a little over $3,000. It's a 16-foot trailer that has a small dovetail on the back. You'll be able to use it as a two-part trailer because we have another trailer I'm going to touch base on. We have another little trailer that we used to haul our asphalt roller. We've got a lot of asphalt work coming up. We're going to have to be able to utilize that, mobilize the roller. The trailer that we have now has got, if you can picture, if anybody knows exactly how a dovetail works, on the trailers we've got now, it's just a straight up the ramp and onto your trailer. when you're trying to put something on her that has two big rollers, that transition point doesn't work. We ended up having to get a new roller because at that transition point with our old roller, the whole front end snapped off, and Harold just about got hurt pretty bad, but we got that thing taken off. We was able to scrap that out years ago. We got a new roller. The new trailer that we're looking at has a ramp with a small dovetail transition onto the trailer. It will work just great for the roller, plus it will work great for having our zero turn mower and whatever other equipment that we have on it. The smaller trailer, and I know that I've spoke with the board before, Mr. Fleshman sent me some information on that. Mr. Cook had touched base on that. With a larger trailer, we have to do that with bids because of the price. The smaller trailer that we have out here, it's just an old homemade throw-together type trailer. We have a couple people that are interested in it. You know, can we get $250, $300 out of that trailer? And I think we can, but because of that amount, we can sell that outright. So what I would like to entertain the board to go ahead and give me the approval to touch base with these people that are looking, that would like to buy the smaller trailer, and make contact with them and talk with them and get the highest price that I can get out of the trailer. But let's get that sold, and then we'll be able to take those proceeds along with the other trailer and then go get the one that we can use. If that makes any sense. That's a lot of talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Trying to cover a lot of things.
Motion.
So I guess what I'm asking the board to do is take into consideration the situation we're in, and I really don't have a whole lot more time to get my guys prepared. I like to make sure that they have everything that they need to do their job, and we're going to be getting tough.
So you're wanting to set the board to make a motion so that you can sell the yellow trailer out there?
If the yellow trailer is on GovDeals already. It times out on the 23rd, and where my reserve is at, I think I got the reserve at $3,000 on that one. If I can get somebody to give me $2,900 or $3,000, I will accept that bid.
Right? Okay.
Because that way I don't have to put it back on for the fourth time. And then the smaller trailer we've got out there, we've got some people that are interested in that smaller trailer. Just get it sold outright. It's under that, I think it's a $500 cap. I think anything under $500,
right,
we don't have to put it out on a
sealed bid. You don't have to take a sealed bid. You can
a project, and then let's do that, and then I've got one more thing, and then I'm done. Y'all give me direction. I'm coming to dad, and mom. And tell them to join me.
See, whatever you can get your best deal out of it.
And go with it.
Okay. Do you second?
You
need a motion.
What is your?
You're just going to need a resolution to sell it for that price,
right? Yeah, or a resolution to sell it for the highest price. The small trailer,
right?
A resolution to sell it for whatever the highest price is.
Yeah, set a date or something. That would be 17-141.
And then I can come back with you and tell you what I was able to sell it for.
To sell the.
To accept.
But I mean, if you get a $250
Boaz trailer?
The Boaz trailer is a big one. It's on GovDeals. It goes until the 23rd. I checked on it today. We're getting close to the $2,000 mark. And usually how that ends up working, it gets right down to within the last 12 hours, and then everybody just starts hammering it.
Yeah.
So, okay. But I would just, you know, we'll let the Boaz go. I just need a motion resolution to go ahead and go with the highest bids I can.
I put to accept the closest bid
to the reserve.
To the reserve. And that's called a Boaz yellow trailer.
A-Z.
Z. I put an S. Boaz yellow trailer. I need a second, please.
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yes.
And that is resolution 17-141.
Now, I know I just said that I had something else, and then I just completely
lost it.
Okay, I'll give you one to think about. This thing on Mid-Ohio the other day about the sewer on Harrisburg Pike.
Yes.
And the bill says $4,600. Is that something we're going to pay, or county going to do that through?
I'm not so sure that in the very beginning when I applied for a grant for a little over $900,000 through the OPWC.
Right, the county was on board with that. Yeah. I mean, the county helped.
And I was awarded this grant for $900,000 some odd. And what it was, it had to do with the widening of Harrisburg Pike. When they came at the beginning of the project, and I know I'm going to get winded for a second, so bear with me, James. At the beginning of the project, ODOT gave us a set of plans. I got the set of plans at hand. My biggest concern isn't what they're doing with their roadway. My biggest concern is for my residents and how the rain runoff, water runoff is going to impact you and the system we've got. Now, we ran into a situation with this first part of the Harrisburg Pike widening project where they literally took 36 and 48 inch storm tiles and jammed them into our 10 inch lines. And when they did that, if you do the mathematics, there's something about making a power washer at that time. And we flooded Little Avenue off of Hopkins. The whole corner was underwater. They cannot overburden our storm sewer. So, another long story short, I shut them down. We couldn't do that. Wouldn't allow them to do that. We had meetings in here with ODOT. They rectified that. They ended up putting, I think, three big 48-inch retention pipes underground. So the water trickles into those 48-inch retention pipes, then it trickles out. Then it can trickle down our 10-inch lines. Once you do the hydraulics on that, that did work. They came back with this project for the next widening project at Harrisburg Pike, and when the plans got to me, lo and behold, what were they doing? The same thing. So I got with the county drainage engineer, Brady Kaler, at the time, and he and I sat down with the plans, come to find out that's what they were getting ready to do. I explained that I would not allow that to happen. We ended up in Delaware in District 6 with a big meeting. I made no friends. Their project got shut down again. So in order to make this project work, which it really needs to work on a safety issue, the township board really believes this, they were going to have to find a way to channel all their storm drain, their storm water runoff, because that's all pervious ground off the edge of the road now. It's going to soak in. Now you're collecting everything. Now you're running everything down, and they wanted to take it down, you know, our Rosemonts and everybody, but our system wouldn't handle that. Now what they want to do is take that all the way to Mound Street, turn right, go down by Cooper Stadium, and dump it into a 72-inch line that goes all the way out to the river. That would work. Unfortunately, the project did not have the funding for that. So they came back to us and they asked us to be the spearhead of a grant. It was almost like $978,000. I filled out the grant paperwork. We worked with the county engineers. There was some money that they had put aside. I got granted the large grant, and now it was sitting down with Franklin County engineers. They had money set aside for whatever funds. Now, granted, that's an ODOT roadway. It impacts our residents, so we have a little bite in that. But at no time did we feel any of these funds should come out of our funding for an ODOT project, and we stuck to that. So the county has stepped in. The county's decided they're going to cover all of our expenses. Mr. Cook and I met with them, and you know they understand that, and we are steadfast on that and won't budge. So we just got a bill. The project got put on hold because now they're having trouble coming up with their money. We have ours. They're having trouble coming up with their money, and they sent a bill for it's a little about $4,000, and it's an administrative cost.
$4,600
bill. We didn't really have any administrative costs other than what I did, and it didn't cost us anything. They're sending us a bill to it's supposed to be a 1%. The 1% charge?
.047.
Yeah, it started off in the first...
.47.
Yeah, in the first order, in the first thing, it was
1.47. It was supposed to be, right, 1%.
So out of $980,000, it would be $9,800. Well, they took it down to 0.47%.
You're right.
They took it down to 0.47%, so now we're looking at a little over $4,000 for the administrative costs because the project is on hold. They're trying to recoup some of their costs on there. Now, my opinion would be we're working with Mr. Biden with the county. Mr. Cook, I think what really needs to happen, our next move on that would be you contact Mr. Biden. Tell him what we got, and I'll be more than happy to help you with that. But contact Mr. Bider, tell him what we've got, ask him what we should do, because at no time, and we've made it extremely clear, would any of your taxpayer dollars go towards this project, and this is what they're asking for us to do now. Granted, it's a small piece compared to the 900 and some thousand, 4,000, but...
Great.
I think...
I wanted to touch with you and see what you come up with anything.
No, I think the only and the smartest way to do would go to Mr. Biden and say...
Okay. So your contention is we shouldn't pay anything?
Not at this point.
Okay.
No, because in all honesty, we're not supposed to be paying anything. And Mr. Cook and I made that extremely clear from the beginning. Right. It was not
going to happen. Going way back, that was... where I thought we were at as well, and that's where we were, and nothing from us.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, I sure wish I could remember what this was. I just wrote a line down for it.
It escaped you.
I'll yell it out whenever I come up with it. Got it. We are going to start our 410s. If that's okay with the board, starting on Monday, now that we're going to be at full steam, we'll go 410s utilizing our Fridays as catch-up days. The 410s we found last year when we did that as an experiment, just like the county does, it's amazing how much more we can get done every day with that extra 2 hours.
Is that going to be to start next week?
Starting on Monday, if the board approves us to do so.
Well, it seemed to be successful for you last year, really, didn't it?
It was. We have got some big projects coming into this year. You all have probably seen us out there painting the roads with the orange machine going to the back seal. Well, we've put that off for 2 years. We can't go anymore. So now not only do we have all of our grass cutting, all of our storm sewer repairs that we have to do, we have crack seal that we have to do. We have curbs that we have to rebuild. Our line and our list, and anybody at any time is more than welcome to come back and see our board if they keep updated. It goes from here today to here tomorrow, and it's just busy. So we got a lot of things going on, but we would like to go to the 410 starting on Monday.
Make a motion to authorize the road department to go on 10-hour days starting effective
anything
Monday.
Else?
Need a second, please?
I'll second.
Sean?
Yes.
Anything else? Okay.
Don?
Yeah.
Ralph?
I know
you're
old.
Thank you, gentlemen.
May the 22nd.
Thank you.
Jim, just one question. If we go, now we're talking Monday through Thursday.
I'm sorry?
We're talking Monday through Thursday or 4:10.
Correct, Monday through Thursday.
What if we have
6:30 to 5.
Yeah, what if we have a major thing, a major issue on Friday,
6:30 to.
Yeah, come in and work.
We would just come in and work 8.
Okay. Is that your schedule as well?
Yeah, that's my schedule.
You're 10 hours still.
I'm right here with them.
Okay.
We're all in this together.
I just needed to know so I don't bug you any day off.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine. And if they have to come in on a Friday, I'll come in on a Friday with them.
Yep.
Okay. Is that it? Any questions of the road department?
Yes, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been waiting
patiently. Okay, I know I'm kind of hot.
It's all right. Ron's getting old. We all getting old with him out here.
Right, so, can't help that.
No. I wasn't sure if you were aware. Obviously, you're aware of the sanitary sewer's going on Monday night. Mm-hmm. The neighbor to my east. the one that's near my drain, the storm drain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They put a replaced their lateral. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they ran their equipment up and over the top of your storm drain.
The one we just rebuilt.
That one that sits there that my ditch runs out of. Mm.
Uh-huh.
You might want to come look at it.
Oh,
I'm not an expert in storm drains, but something looks different about it.
No, it's okay. We'll get out there. And if they damaged the work that we did.
Because there, you can see the tracks. It runs literally right, you know.
You
can't hide it.
I have the potential to make them rebuild it.
And they drove all the way into the neighbor's yard, too. Like, way more than they needed to. So, he, you know, but the drain.
What you're seeing up here right now, Robin, what you're seeing, they're doing a restoration work.
Yeah.
Okay, that's like a preliminary, let's get it started. And then they're going to be coming back and they're going to be doing the finalization.
Because they haven't did my lateral yet. I'm wondering like when they've like
coming.
They've went before me, after me, all around me, and I'm like, it's just because it's me. You know, I don't know. They
just
don't
want to consider yourself special, and they're going
to. Well, I'm worried about that storm drain because when we do get those heavy rains, Leroy will not like me anymore because that water goes straight in his garage, as we found out 1 year, and he was not a happy camper. He came up and. He said, all these years I've lived here, never had water in my garage. Well, it comes from...
Leroy knows how to get a hold of Ron.
Yeah, I know. But I'd rather not have any calling if we can... If y'all can make a picture.
They call me 7 days a week, all hours of the day.
Well, I try not to pester you, but I want you at least aware of that. When you're in the area, to take a couple pictures of it.
I thought you said you was done.
Any more questions?
Done.
Any more questions of the road department?
Let's go, Chief.
Right.
Blade, I'm hungry.
Isn't that, I don't want to spin up here. Good Lord Almighty.
Any questions for the Chief? Okay, good night.
All right, play a new.
You haven't been called on.
That's
wrong. Melissa had a few more things for the building department.
Okay.
So I'll read to them and then.
Oh, so you're doing. I'm just trying to get my notes. You're doing the building department.
I'll give you what I'm reading. Appraisals will be done on 3 homes in the next 14 days. 1248 Tegco, 1439 Little, and 1520 Eastfield Drive. The next step will be for the board to set the final asking price, and then an auction date will be set. She'll put notes on the website and in the local paper, and it'll be posted here in the lobby.
Okay.
Let's see, we covered Aaron already.
Give me those numbers, house numbers again.
1248 Tech Hill.
Okay.
1439 Little. And 1520 Eastfield Drive.
Okay.
If any resident has any homes in their neighborhood that they have questions about, you can either call Melissa here at the office, or you can go to the website, fill out a nuisance home form, which is located on the front page of our website. Make sure you include your email address, and that way any updates will be emailed to you by her. Any questions for the building department?
I got a comment.
I don't want to.
I think Melissa's done an extremely great job with all of that.
Even though I
just wanted to put that out there.
I'll put that in the notes.
She has, and she's taken on most of it herself.
She's done. I mean, we give her a lot of information, and she does a lot of research. I just wanted to go on the record, and I think that we work with her. She's done a great job. Okay, now
I do too. Next, I would like to start the 3 new hires at B-Step due to the fact that we've already trained them. They already possess some of their own equipment, which will save us money. It's about $1 more on the hour.
The only thing I would mention is when you first start talking about the levy, you were selling everybody that new hires would be starting on the lower rate, which would save money on the levy.
Well,
because they would be starting in at the lower rate.
They are starting in the lower rate still. But all of them are also taking pay cuts to come here. So.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at, what, 15 an hour to start?
It's 19 something.
It's 19 start full time, but part time was 15 or something.
Right, but I'm talking about the full time.
Gotcha. Right.
Starting the 19 something an hour.
Right.
Fully trained,
right? It's still lower than anyone around us.
Yeah, well, much.
I'm fine with that.
I guess I'm not.
Okay.
We just got a secretary in there that we're putting back to the lower rate. We're hiring her, and after 6 months, she will get her raise.
Right. Well,
and I mean, any new hire, started the low rate and come in. That's why we have a low rate.
Well, right. That's true. But in their contract, it does give the option for the chief to recommend a higher rate, which I believe Chief Timko did for Todd Moore.
I think that's because he left and came back.
No. He wasn't here. He came from another department. I mean, he had experience. There was no leaving here.
Being the fact that we want to get the best candidates that we can get for this township, $1 more an hour, I don't really think is going to hurt us. Right. If anything, if we can get people that's got experience and that has worked part-time.
If you had a $4 or $5 gap, I could understand.
Right,
that,
but yeah. $1 to make the pot sweeter, to be able to keep the people here versus us training them and them going somewhere else, I think it's worth the $1.
And essentially what it boils down to is each guy per week would get $40 more.
Right.
Take that times five when you get it.
There's no one's debating what it equals up to a year, but we got to keep in mind that it is the taxpayers that is paying that, and I think that the taxpayers are ecstatic to have good quality people. We don't want to waste taxpayers' money by getting someone in, trained, and then they turn around and can go to another department somewhere else making $1 or $2 more on the hour.
Yeah.
As you said, it adds up at the end of the year.
Really, so everyone understands, is the reality of training is not a cheap matter. It's kind of a drawn-out affair, really, isn't it, Byron?
It's a minimum of 3 months.
Yeah.
And we were able to train all three of these guys at the part-time wage.
That was a bonus.
Man, they seemed like really good guys. I know you seem to be very happy with them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not with them day in, day out like you are. But, I'd say for that extra buck an hour, let's go for it, I think.
It'll have to be a resolution.
Yeah.
17-142.
To start the
new hired police level. Officers to start at the B-level step.
B-level, yeah.
I need a second.
I'll second.
Who read the resolution?
Back.
Okay, Don. John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
And Don?
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to skip anybody.
That's all I got. I know Tim has some questions you wanted while I'm standing here.
Well, you can go ahead and with your schedule, and then I can go from there as far as...
Well, they're aware of the schedule.
Could we let Chief come up and get his thing over with, and then maybe Tim say what he wants then, or something like that.
All right.
Or Wade, or whatever. I don't know how long Tim's going to be.
Quite a while.
Good evening, everyone.
I'm trying to take care of you.
I appreciate it. I don't have much. Tim took all my time, so.
Hey. How often do I ever get to talk?
I know. You guys already passed everything I had, the FMLA and also the whatever thing I had. The Drango. Other than that, everything's going good. I did want to talk to the board, though, and just let you know as a heads up, we are running into a lot of repairs with all of our vehicles. I talked to our main guy at CAT. He said a lot of it is coming from the roads. It just came out in one of the road trade magazines about that brine stuff they're throwing down, and he said a lot of your repairs are coming from that.
Really?
He said it has an acid in it. He goes, you can't wash it off and you can't do nothing about it.
Really?
Yeah. When you drive on the brine, it splashes up and whatever it's on. And your vehicles as well. I think it's going to be something that is going to be came to the forefront here soon.
They are really, but I'll start with, we didn't put the first drop of brine down this year, so it wasn't on us.
Yeah.
One thing that they're starting to do, and I got down there at the convention, is, and it's a little bit more expensive, is the
beet juice.
Beet juice. It's an incredible mixture.
Yeah.
It does not
yeah.
have the erosive effect of salt brine. But there's a big difference between 12 cents a gallon for salt brine and $2 and some a gallon for beet juice.
Absolutely.
We better start growing beets.
Yeah, it's, I think this brine...
We'll bring our beets in a condenser.
Brine caught on, what, 5 years ago? So we're going to start seeing the effects on all of our vehicles. We had brake problems. Springs is corroded inside the calipers, which caused an issue with our brakes on this engine over here. They contributed that to the brine. We just had engine 192 taken up to the shop today, I believe. Yeah, it was this morning. It's seeping diesel fuel from the gas tank. Like, it's, they can actually push on it, and a spot of diesel fuel will come up. So they're getting ready to order one of those to reinstall. But
is, not to interrupt you, Jimmy, is there a, can car wash per se, truck wash per se, that you can take those through that gets the undercarriage washed off?
Yeah, twice there is, and but twice a year we made a homemade stick with a PVC pipe, and we charge it and try to get as much stuff from underneath the truck as we can. A lot of stuff comes off, but they said that brine you're not getting off. It's
yeah.
a contact.
This year the county, this year was probably the worst year that I've seen the county and the city in the last few years use the amount of brine that they use, just because of our weather. We weren't going to get the big snowfalls, but we were going to get what we call ice burners or salt burners, and they did a lot of pre-treating, and a lot of times they pre-treated and
nothing
happened.
Right.
Promised but didn't deliver.
Other than that, that's all I really have. Anybody got any questions?
Okay.
I feel like I need to stay here longer.
Yeah. I think you get to go. Just because you can.
I'm going, I got, if I can.
Sure. Why not?
I'm going to work with Chief Welsh in the area where we built the new pole barn. We're getting ready to, we're going to have to do something to retop that drive over there. What ends up happening in the wintertime when we're trying to plow that off, being a gravel parking lot, you end up taking the majority of all your gravel off, and then you run into a situation. I would like to be able to get, that's what my line was about, I would like to be able to get the board's approval to work with Chief Welsh and see about getting somebody to come in here and give us a quote on paving just that small area in front of that pole barn. I think it would help with your vehicles, our vehicles, and the overall cost of overlay.
In actuality, we're getting some huge potholes throughout both of our stations.
I get phone calls.
But if we're going to go take that step, I'd like to get quotes for that
the
area,
whole thing.
Plus the whole thing. It's going to
we'll
be
get it. Let's do it in a two-part.
Okay.
The one,
something to board.
Yeah, the one area that's all gravel right now where we planed that all off, that base that we put in there was an extremely good base,
yeah.
So there should be no base work needs to be done, just an overlay with asphalt. It's just a thought. I was up earlier yesterday, and I thought, it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, it's getting to that point.
Yeah. And with you guys all getting levies, now we can look at things like that.
Is the board okay with that? Let's check in the quotes and prices and
quotes?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I needed. Thank you on that.
Did you guys follow up on the new awnings and stuff for the buildings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've given it to Chief Welsh.
Oh.
I've passed the buck.
Okay.
I sent it down a couple weeks ago. Too.
Back again.
Well, come on, Byron. We love
just
you.
Just do it from your seat. I'll watch it up.
Well, I might want to hit that button.
Ouch.
Oh.
We're still going to have to deal with Tim's or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the new schedule. We've already beat this dead horse. Within by next pay period, we will be pushing in the third shift. We will be going to 3 a.m. 5 out of 7 days of the week. Fridays and Saturdays, we will stop at 11, and the sheriff's office will have to pick up the rest.
So, We're going to have three shifts again.
No, we will go from 7 in the morning until 3 a.m. So 5 days a week, there will be 4 hours a day we cannot cover. Fridays and Saturdays, there will be 8 hours we cannot cover.
About 2.5 shifts per day.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's where your issue came, was that Saturday night.
Right. Friday and Saturdays being the busiest time, of course. Going into the summertime, especially with kids out school and stuff.
Jim Cheney.
It's come to, you know, everybody's attention that we're not going to have anything on the midwash, basically, on Friday and Saturday nights. And I feel this is kind of like an oversight on the scheduling. I'm trying to figure out how we can do this. Where we still have that same coverage 7 days a week instead of just cutting it off for 2 days. I'd originally written a big proposal, but talking to Byron, I'm not sure how we could do it. But the amount, if you did the 28 weeks starting basically Memorial Day weekend and running through the first weekend of December for two officers based on 8 hours, and of course it wouldn't be 8 hours, it'd be less than that if we did it later on into the night, if you
right.
started at 11 and went to 3 or something, you were
what Tim is
out.
Proposing is posting overtime shifts
right.
to cover those gaps.
I originally figured it up for the entire 28 weeks to be $39,128.32. But talking to Byron, we figured we could do it on a monthly basis, where that he could have the overtime depending on the officers that would sign up, of course, also, and where he can arrange a schedule where we could still have the coverage on Friday and Saturday nights, because the criminals are going to know, hey, they don't have anything on Friday and Saturday nights. Yes, the Sheriff's Department will respond if they're available. They're not patrolling, per se. They're just coming if it's a situation, you know, an emergency situation, basically. So I'm trying to find out, and being over top of Black Watch, a lot of people's coming with me with this concern because they say, well, there's money in the general fund. That's kind of like their money as a citizen, and they're looking at it as they want protection with their money that's in the general fund. So we're trying to figure out if we could do this on a month-to-month basis to cover these two shifts, you know, two nights a week.
So, let me ask Lisa a question and get we can explain it. And everybody keeps, and I'm not saying we don't have enough or whatever, but we come back with this $1 million in the general fund.
Where you have 900,000.
We'll call it a million. Then you're saying 900,000.
Yeah, because we already gave the.
What would happen if we took that $900,000 away from you right now? What would happen the rest of the year?
We would go in the hole.
Well, I mean,
and we'd have to close down.
You wouldn't have money.
That's what I'm saying. Out of this $900,000 that's there, we're paying
bills.
The general fund is
you can read off of there what you're paying out of the general fund. I mean, we got bills to pay continually.
We pay the trustees and the trustee staff, myself and my person. We have legal counsel, the public employee retirement system, Social Security, Medicare, our hospitalization, life, dental, and vision. Workers' compensation is one of our largest bills, and our medical. Auditing service, UAN accounting network system. We have to pay the tax collection fees, for the deduct and treasurer's land bank fees. Those are huge. Even though we collect money from our citizens, they charge us, Franklin County does, to collect your money
and disperse it.
But they charge us 5% for the deduct fee, and then they charge another one 5%. So that's 10%, and that usually comes to about $30,000. Now that just comes out of the general fund. The fire department has to pay. They got a $1.1 million from the first portion, but it was like, what was it, like 50-some thousand? Yeah. Let me look.
Jim Stevens has to pay part of it. They automatically subtract it from these different areas. Like, so far, this is only the first half, $19,000 came out of his money. And that is just part of it. And then we have the Board of Health tax collection fees. We have the tax collection fees for the delinquent advertisement fees. Tax collection fees for the Board of Elections. That's for when we put stuff on the ballot. We have a planning consultant, which he has not been working, so he's not been paid so far. We have telephones, cell phones, and computer systems, postage, the postage machine, any advertisements that we do. Contracted services is like the people that come and they spray for bugs and stuff.
Computers.
Fireproof holds all of our records.
Mosquito control.
Operating supplies is like from Staples and things like that. Dues and fees for the bank and service charges. Repairs and maintenance, electric, water and sewer, natural gas, property insurance premium went up another $2,000. That is our OTARMA for the insurance of all of our buildings and stuff. That's $53,000 a year. Repairs and maintenance on fire hydrants, which is close to $25,000 a year. Contracted services for the fire hydrant repair for the man who comes out and does it. Payment of other political subdivisions. Then we have House Bill 50. We have buildings, improvement on site, machinery, equipment, and furniture. Capital outlay is for, we put money aside to do that road that over there on the big run.
60-some thousand. Plus we got, when you get
we
done
have,
with that, you got to do the other part of it.
We have,
what, $90-some thousand?
About 90 grand.
We have principal payments, which is the Geneva sewer project from long ago, and we're coming up to the last six payments. And then we have transfers out, and then we have advances out. Then we have our contingency of what if something happens.
And the other thing that I was mentioning earlier is if we did this, we only have so many officers. Summer's coming. We're going to have officers that are going to be off for vacation, family, things of that nature. We got to make sure that those shifts are covered. So it's just going to be, as you and I talked, I think you...
It's going to have to be a readjustment of the schedule somewhat.
Right. And but it's going to be, there's only so much adjustment that you can do.
And I'm basically, and really, if just calculating and estimating, you're probably talking probably about $6,000 a month. Give or take.
But that's even if you have the officers to do it.
Well, you meant, I think if you're paying overtime, I think somebody's going to probably sign up for it. I mean,
not really.
The guys
don't like
them. They won't get to mine in January.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, don't wait until January.
What I'm trying to get at, though, is everybody keeps talking about we got $1 million, we got $1 million.
Right.
We're already down to $900,000. We're already down to $900,000, and we don't have anything left over at the end of the year.
Yeah, we gave them a $100,000 loan.
But at the end of the year, we got to have money to carry over January and February to start.
And March, until we get our first draw again. And last year, wasn't it $300,000+ we had to loan you guys? And it was, we had to loan him money. You didn't?
No, we didn't loan.
Not the police. But I mean, $300,000 to loan.
No, we did.
To another company.
What I'm saying, you know. I'll get to. So what I'm saying is $1 million, it's not $1 million there because we're going to be using it to pay
all these
ongoing stuff.
Yeah, daily operating things and so forth.
So,
have you thought about taking, I mean, I don't know, maybe the guys don't want to do it, but taking like a Sunday, Monday and moving it to the weekend? To cover that?
We have thought about that. But like I explained to Tim and also the board, there is no rhyme or reason with the criminals. John was out with the officers last Friday, and they didn't hit a lick.
We just did radar.
The day I went, there was nothing. So
it could be any day. I mean, just because Friday's the weekend doesn't mean it's going to be the busiest day of the week. It could be Sunday, it could be Monday, it could be Tuesday.
Right, but I mean, you're satisfied maybe his walk watch people or the people in his
community. Well, I mean, that wouldn't
I think everybody would be worried about.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean,
asked for, you know, from last year,
right.
Memorial Day through December 1st.
Well, the thing is, we can just make Robin had a question. Robin had a question.
Mine happened in October when people broke into my home, so right. And it was in the middle of the week, so it wasn't on the weekend.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't the summer. It was on the weekend.
Yeah.
Robin?
I was thinking from, you know, my financial brain in business is that when you were talking earlier about bringing the officers on, there was the question about the dollar extra an hour, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. Well, I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we're saving money because they've already been trained.
Correct.
Okay. And they have their own personal equipment.
They have some.
Okay. Not saying all,
not
but
all.
Some.
Not all.
So just saying they were coming in off the street,
mm-hmm.
you're going to train them, you're going to buy equipment. Would that have been in question? Would that money have been in question to buy them equipment and get them trained?
What do you mean would it have been in question?
Cost-wise.
The cost. Like, if you didn't have a part-timer that wanted to go full-time,
right.
and you had to hire somebody in off the street, there's going to be an investment in that new
there
hire.
There would be an investment. We
so
would
what
not.
Is that money investment there? We're not using, you know what I'm saying? Because if they have some equipment,
right.
they have some training. So say that. I'm just throwing this out.
Right. It is saving money.
Say it's $500 a person.
But there's going to be, right, no, I understand what you're saying.
You see where I'm going with this
no,
is that
I,
we
I,
save
I do.
Some.
But you have to account for overtime that naturally accrues also.
Well, yeah,
so
and that's
not
where
like
I'm
there's...
trying to see if there's a balance to where Tim's going
well,
with this.
Well, and I told Tim, too, we are trying to put extra patrols out, like for Memorial Day and stuff like that. Changing the schedule is not going to fix the problem.
Well, no, I'm so not saying that. I'm just saying... knowing that the township would have made that investment
right.
if they had to bring in an officer, a new person.
And they would have, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Those dollars would have automatically been put out there because they want that person on the street.
And
they want them to be trained.
And so we're already trying to use those.
So those dollars weren't used.
Correct.
Okay, so what are those dollars being used for now?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, sorry.
Those dollars are going to be used for the extra patrols for, like, Memorial Day.
Okay.
You know, extra traffic patrol, things like that.
Okay.
But
I didn't realize there were some extra things going
yeah,
on. I need the extra hours.
But it's not feasible to do it 2 days a week. It's just, we just don't have people.
Gotcha.
You know.
So you need those couple extra bodies that are coming later?
Well, we're going to need the extra bodies, but I mean, guys are going to get tired, they're going to go on vacation, whatever.
Sick.
You know, be
of
sick.
Of course.
But also, too, the money wasn't going to be coming until January.
Right.
So, I mean, even what you're doing now to even give us this extra staff is over and above. I mean, so, you know, we would be having this until January, this conversation.
Right. All this is coming out of the money that they advanced.
Right. But you still have to pay that back.
Correct. And then borrow it again.
Right.
Well, reality
is the point. But bottom line is, if they're not willing to give us the money to do this,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be, I mean, we wouldn't be seeing anything until January.
Correct.
Well, really,
so
we're really
still,
we've got as much as we can afford.
It's really March is when we'll see something.
Yeah,
and
the dollars actually
right.
get the books.
Right.
Right.
It's not
so,
January.
Yeah.
And it depends on how it falls. It could be early April.
So, I guess the reality of it too, Tim, you know, we
all want it right now.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're all discussing the best way to do it. But like you said, the board has already extended itself as much as it can to get where what we're going to have. So in retrospect, we could have said, no, we're just going to wait till the money's come in, and then we got to wait. So no matter, it's one of those things, no matter how we do it, someone's going to want it this way or someone's going to want it this way. So I think we need to work with it as need basis, as the chief is saying, for the holidays, the different things that come up. We can't spread ourselves too thin, too many people working overtime, and then someone is sick, and then they've already worked all the overtime that they can work. Now we don't have someone to fill that spot. I think we need to go with what the chief's recommendation is, and then if we're able to tweak it as we go along, we can look at that.
Yeah, we pay $460,000 in salaries, $120,000 to the Ohio Public Employee Retirement System. Hospitalization is over $100,000. Those are just some of the costs for the police department.
How can someone determine which days we're going to not cover?
That's because he's the chief. He's got their...
Because
what I'm trying to say, Tim, is one doesn't mean any more or less than the other. There's going to be 2 days.
You could maybe try rotating. That would keep the crooks
guessing. Something like that. Because, as you said, the crooks know, well, Friday and Saturday, there's nobody on here.
Well,
but if you're rotating, like she says, you're keeping, you know, nobody never knows when you're out there.
Right.
So
that's a good idea. That is a...
I would accept something like that, possibly, because you're keeping them on their toes. You're not giving them a set schedule that, hey, Franklin Township don't have anybody Friday and Saturday night. So.
For the last, year and a half, they've known there's nobody between midnight and 8.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they've been...
Well, we've all felt that.
Yeah, we've all felt that.
To some degree.
Rotating shifts. We can reach out to the union.
Do we have any part-timers at all?
We have 2.
Can we not rotate them around?
No. Because they have full-time jobs, so they can only work certain days a week. We've had that conversation. I can't make them work whenever I want them to. Typically, they're actually hired in because they can fill a need right then. So if they can't work any days that we need them as a part-timer, we wouldn't hire them. But some of them have flexibility, some not so much. They have to commit to one shift a week.
Right.
You know, so it's...
That's
all we got.
Makes sense.
As you said, I think we beat this dead horse. Let's move on, and we'll look at it as the summer gets here.
Any other questions for the police department?
Thank you, Karen.
Bye,
Jim.
Of course I do.
Of course you do.
It's, you know. When you go to hiring the ones later in the year or early part of 18, will those discussions as they're onboarding be about the weekends? Be about the current schedule where we've got those vacancies?
Well, right now
I don't understand how the hiring process works anyway.
Right. The vacancies we have right now are just the 2 days a week. As we bring in more part-timers and they're trained, those vacancies are going to go away.
Filling in. Gotcha.
So.
Well, that's all I need.
All by itself.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So we're replacing the part-time people then?
We're replacing the 3 that went full-time, yes.
Oh, nice.
As we can find the evidence.
And now that way it gives them time to learn, just like these part-timers, in training. And then when we're ready to go full-time, then we've got people like we just did that's ready to go.
It takes a minimum of 3 months, so if they're part-time, working 2 days a week, you know, you're looking at 60 days.
And
6 days or 6 months?
And
60 days.
So everyone knows that, you know, Byron has done an outstanding job trying to go through the part-timers and work and do... He's done a really good job in covering...
All the resources you've got.
You know, it's essentially not a lot of money.
You want to work?
And, you know, the thing you get out of part-timers is, you know, maybe an entry-level pay, you know, which is very nil, but you don't get any experience or anything else through along with that.
Some do, not so much.
Yeah, once in a while, but he essentially, really, he switched his weekends or personal schedule around just so everybody knows the work weekends.
Right.
And that's rare that you'll see a police chief do that. I mean, the job he's done trying to finagle around with the part-timers and everything. I think he's done a really good job now. Whether we need to, you know, Tim, I can't disagree with you. I just don't know. I don't know what to tell you, really. You know, and,
it's not a matter of us not wanting to do it. It's a matter we don't have the money to do it.
Yeah, it appears that way to me, and I believe that's the way it is. I don't see where we can bend very much more, you know, in reality. But, I'd be willing to go forward and talk a little more as we, you know, see how the thing goes there. I just don't see on doing it now. Do you, Bob?
Well, not with the manpower. I mean, we can post the shifts, but I can't guarantee that we cover.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And the county, they're willing to carry on working with you as much as possible then?
Yeah, they're doing a good job. Okay. I mean, they're not doing anything really extra special, but yeah.
Any other questions for the police department?
All right. 13. Okay. Thanks, Byron.
Well, you're most welcome.
John.
Yeah, as you guys, we started earlier in regards to there's no sign out there. Yes, there's a sign. Evidently, it's on tape. Mr. Cook did take the sign down. The sign has to be posted for 24 hours to have a meeting. There was two signs out there. The one sign that was there is for today's meeting, and then we have an executive meeting tomorrow. Mr. Cook doesn't want to have the meeting tomorrow, and he said it, as you heard, it isn't going to happen. So ethically, you're not... I don't even know. I have to check with our attorneys and figure out what is going on. But at this time, I would like to ask Mr. Cook, respectively, to step down as chairman of Franklin Township to either assistant chair or to regular chair.
Oh, no. I know you've been wanting this all year.
But if I wanted it all year, I turned it down in January.
No, I don't plan on doing it, John. But let me explain this to you. Because I planned on doing it here, I got a note. What happened was last week, Ralph sent out an email that he'd been talking to the attorney about our secretary in there and talking about her being on drugs, and then he talked about wanting to know what's going on with her and her police chief and wanting to have a special meeting. I posted a special meeting. I called Melissa. I said, post a special meeting for Wednesday at 2 o'clock. She didn't get any responses back. So she didn't post the meeting. So Tuesday night, everybody was sending her emails, texting her at 7 o'clock at night after she'd left here at 5 o'clock. It was texting her, sending emails, what's going on? And she told them, you didn't respond to the email, so I did not post the meeting. So then John comes out, or the next day they come out. Ralph says, I'd like to still have that meeting Friday at 1 o'clock. I said, I'm unavailable Friday. We'll have it another day. John comes back and says, we're going to have a meeting at 1 o'clock, whether you like it or not.
No, that's not true.
That, well,
if it's in an email,
you can read,
show it.
You can
there's
read,
no email.
John, listen,
that.
I'm talking. John, I'm talking.
Talking.
John, I'm talking.
I hear you talking.
Let me finish.
But you can't
let
tell
me finish,
that you
John.
Have an
John,
email that
let
didn't
me finish.
Occur.
John, let me finish. So the email comes back that John says, we're going to have a meeting.
No, John didn't say that.
On Friday.
I can pull it up.
Well, I can too.
Then pull it up and read it
John
to them instead of giving it in your own
meeting.
Words.
We're going to have a meeting.
Pull it up
John,
so you can read it to them now. I am listening to you.
No,
you be quiet. Pull it up and let them read word for word what I said instead of ad-libbing of what I said. Just pull it up. You've got it available. Make it available to them.
Are you done?
Well, just
are
read
you,
it.
Are you done?
I'm done.
John come back and said, we're going to have a meeting. We only need two trustees. We're going to have a meeting Friday. I don't feel that they should have a meeting with what they're going to discuss without all three trustees being here. Never in my tenure as being a trustee here has a trustee ever set a meeting that they didn't contact all three trustees and the three trustees didn't agree. Yes, they can be here at that time. No trustee has ever said, well, we're going to do it with just the two of us. We don't need you.
And no one did say that.
And if read it, pull it up, let them read it. If you're going to state
it, John,
pull it up.
John, settle down for a minute, okay? Just cool off.
I'm fine. I just want you to be able to read it so they can read word for word what I said.
I can read it.
Well, let me give you my input. Number one, when you sent the email, you did not send it to my regular email. You sent it to my old email address. I think that's deception there.
That's possible.
And
but John
and
did not respond.
The reality is, what we're talking about in respect to the lady that we're talking about, I think that we do not need to air this in a public meeting
right.
Because it is in, and I think you're out of line for doing that, Mr. Cook.
No.
But the reality
John
is,
just brought it up.
And you were stonewalling, not wanting to have a meeting.
No.
And that is pure and simple.
No.
And I cleared everything I did through the attorney's office, henceforth running up the building further. We don't need these kind of fights.
And if
I were the lady that you're trying to defend, I would be very offensive about you bringing it up in a public meeting. This is an employee executive meeting, and two trustees, the majority of the board, is the law.
No trustee ever has the right to take down a sign because they feel that it has to be a certain way.
The meeting,
it's three trustees.
That's all I'm going to say. The meeting will go on.
It came in and took it down.
Said
it's not going to happen. The meeting's not going to happen. It is going to happen. The sign will go back up.
Well, you have Byron put me in jail. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow.
Do it then.
Huh?
You think you need that, do it.
And there's a thing called
ethics. It, because
it takes two trustees.
There's things that really
to have
need to be taken care of.
Well, you've made a motion. You got to work on it.
I would like to ask. I would like to ask the audience. Do you think that two trustees should be able to meet, and if the other one isn't available, just go ahead and do it when they can do it for another day?
I've seen that happen to Tim Guyton.
Yeah.
No, no. Tim Guyton never had a meeting.
No, he didn't have the meeting.
He wasn't here.
He wasn't here.
Tim Guyton was in
Arizona,
but he was on vacation.
Yeah.
He was on vacation, and it was a regular meeting. I'm saying they've never
executive
called a special meeting when another trustee could not be available. All trustees always call and contact the other trustees.
Well,
I can show it to you in back records.
I exactly had that situation before. Maybe we have. I'm not sure.
But this
for
Mr. Cook to come in and say that meeting isn't happening.
Yeah.
He told Melissa, don't put the sign up. Melissa told him, two trustees have already told me to put the sign up. Don't put the sign up. You, Don, cannot order people to not do something when it takes two trustees.
That's true.
You, as an individual, cannot go and take a sign down that has been put up because you feel that it's not what you want. That's the whole issue here. You know, we're losing the whole point of ethics between he said this and he said that. There's a fine line of what the law is. And once that sign is posted to the public and you take that down, you're in violation. You can't do that.
Find a violation and do something.
So basically you're not going to resign? And
you're stepped down, not resign.
Step down, yeah.
No.
So let's move on then. We're having a meeting tomorrow, John.
Okay.
Well, if you do, it's illegal. It's not posted.
What's this?
We'll put it back up. Byron, can you ask him to receive what he took off there? Because it is township property.
It is.
And we'll put it right back up. Ralph, if you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Ask him to return it to Byron.
Yeah. Oh, do you have the meeting sheet?
Yep. Where's it at?
Okay, if it needs posted, let's repost it.
We can you repost right what we need to put back up?
It's not on my computer.
No, we can write it by hand. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
We can write it and stick it back up there.
Well, it's perfectly clear.
It's very clear to me.
Yeah.
besides, it's we're within the law, so I'm not even worried about it. I'm not going to do anything. Have a meeting, nothing without I'm on firm.
What time is the meeting tomorrow?
1 o'clock.
1 p.m. Yeah.
And it is an executive session?
It's an executive session. 1 o'clock. So it's been down. The sign, when I was here at five, it was up. What time did he take it down? Did you call?
It was between 5 and...
So it's been down 5, 6, 7, 2.5 hours, 2 hours, about 2 hours, 30 minutes, even if we say 5.
Okay, you want it word for word. We still can have the meeting with two trustees. I'm good with 1 p.m. Melissa, get a second and post a sign.
And that's exactly what the law
right.
states.
What I'm saying is...
You have lived completely what I said to that.
You need to call when you have a meeting. I have never called. I have never called John or Ralph. Let me finish what I'm talking. We have never had meetings. We have never had meetings that you didn't contact the other trustees to make sure everybody was available to come to a meeting.
What if you get your
email? If you're going to work together as a board, if you're going to work together as a board.
You don't
need
take
to contact the other trustees, and when all three trustees are available, that's when you have a meeting. That's how a board works together.
A board works together by not taking down a sign and then denying that they took it down, and we have to go to the cameras to see that it was you that took it down.
We want
to
move on.
About once a week, I check my old email address.
Okay, you got sent the wrong one. But John didn't respond. That would have been the second.
I did respond.
Nobody responded
I'm not
for that.
Going to argue.
Nobody responded to the Wednesday meeting.
Well, you know, I'm done arguing about it. I know
nobody
right
responded.
And wrong, and I also know the law because I found out. Correct. And we were well within our...
Right.
Well, within
exactly.
So,
you might have been, but you do not call meetings without all three trustees being contacted.
Sir, you're trying to stonewall.
Anyhow, there's I come in the other day and I noticed that an employee had borrowed a trailer, and I had a question about it, and they say they contacted and got two trustees okay. So I just want to inform everybody, the board, that the trustees do not give anybody permission to borrow. This is the ORC that employees and officials cannot borrow township equipment, tools of any kind. Jim knows this. We talked years ago. We had problems with it. We discussed then, so I just want everybody to know.
What does this have to do with the meeting tomorrow, Doc?
I'm moving on.
Well, let's move on.
I am. I'm just telling you. That's my next thing. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I just come in here. I want everybody to understand that you cannot borrow or give employees permission to borrow township equipment.
Okay.
Here's this lien that we got on the property.
Yeah. Did
you need to pay the $30-some? That's
what Brush
that's a
said.
Fee and an interest. What happened is originally there was a...
It's on this property?
On this property. There was originally a $25.60 withholding that was not paid. They sent it to a collection agency. They put a lien on the property, and you have to be down and pay $38 to get the lien removed off of this property.
Okay. And Brush has couldn't do anything about it?
Nope. That's where it's at.
Okie dokie. I'll get a check and write it down.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ralph.
Okay. Just wanted to give everyone a little quick update on the JED. Really, there is no update, is there, Jim?
Absolutely not.
No, Jim and I have been chasing people, really, is what we've been doing.
Chasing who?
And
City Council.
We've been downtown, we visited, brought it to City Council's attention and everything, got a new person to contact. And we waited a week, and I recommended Jim call to this Hannah, whatever her name is, Rita, but, and get see if you could get some feedback from her. She never did return your call.
No, I called her twice and left her my cell number away. I wouldn't miss a call.
So, essentially, that's where we're at on it. And I did talk to Don Brogius, the attorney, again. And he and I chatted for a few minutes there. And we kind of thought it might be better to probe for another week or two, Jim.
Okay.
And see what we can do. I think this conversation with Kevin Boyce might help some, too.
Yeah.
And he said he told me he would call Mayor Ganther for me there.
Okay.
Has Adam Miller been any help at all?
Big
boy. Adam Miller, our state rep?
I haven't even spoken with him about it. I don't think he could help us on this deal, John.
State not much to do with
that. It has to go to the head of the city and you know, the collaboration that the county and the city has got, plus Kevin and Andy kind of grew up together as well.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they're buddies there, and so he'll certainly tell him. Now, where we move, and I'll get an email out to Kevin there in the next few days and ask him. As a matter of fact, he told me he'd try to talk to Andy, I think, tomorrow on it. So.
Good.
What are we waiting on exactly?
Is the city moving on something?
What do you need them to do? I guess, what's their action?
We submitted a contract to the city about 3 months ago,
yeah.
And it's in their court. And now, at the time, I asked them how long they were going to keep it and when should we expect a return from it. And they said, well, with the size we are and the litigation and stuff, it's going to take a couple months.
That's
already passed, so now we're starting to probe.
So we just need, like, signatures or agreements on...
Well, I guess, essentially, we're getting nervous on it because of the time.
There's a timeline.
Now...
Absolutely. Do you think they're stalling for a reason?
Could be. Well, that's, you know, kind of speculation. And Don Brogius is wondering that, too.
So, if, say, they would sign it tomorrow, what happens next?
It
would come back to... Well, yeah, I guess it would come back to us. We'd have to go back to the...
It's a contract.
I'm just trying to run somebody down and say, hey, where's this thing at?
It's a contract, and right now the city has it, and they're going to have counteroffers. We're expecting that. So how long are we going to
go back?
So there's going to be a back and forth. And as soon as we agree on it, we hold a 30-day hearing. They hold a 30-day hearing. We go get final signatures, then it's done.
Final signatures from who?
The people within the JET.
The businesses.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not trying to play stupid. I really just want to try to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, it's a complex process.
Yeah, it is a complex process. And the thing about it, if in fact, my understanding, as best I can, of the JET itself, if we can come up with a deal, which was part of the casino thing, that if we can get people to sign on to the JET, which there is, Jim's done a good job on getting some people to sign on, businesses. So, and if in the event that we can get the city of Columbus to go along with this and everything, will be guaranteed non-annexation for 50 years, Robin.
Right,
now,
I kind of got that part.
Yeah, if there is other options, and Rosa says somewhere along the line that maybe, you know, we may have to look at another jurisdiction, and he's thinking Grove City. If they can't get it all worked through, and, you know, for some reason, there is other options. The problem that you have with that would be no guarantee of non-annexation. However, he says there is, if...
It's just an invitation. You guys don't
If we go through that, then the people... The city of Columbus wouldn't be as apt to go in and annex anyway, for the simple fact that'd be double taxed. The businesses would be double taxed. So that's kind of where it is right now. But it's a process. Frankly, probably if we'd really had this thing in, I mean, maybe whatever, last year or something, I think we'd be a long way further along with it, really. But, you know, it is what it is right now, you know, and we're trying to push it along, so. Okay, the other thing is the trash contract, and I've been working on this thing for about 3 months, and I've been through three other companies, been to three other companies other than local waste. No one even wants really to touch it, or it can even come close to it. Now, talk to local, and also talk to Sweco. And we have, Sweco has with Jackson Township, Grove City, and Urban Crest, 3 years remaining on their contract. It's a collaboration of the three jurisdictions. And what Sweco will do, we had to go through the process, me and Sweco, and talk to Jackson, Franklin, or wherever, Jackson, Grove City, and Urban Crest, to get their authorization to opt in to the contract. We had a little hold up there because they wanted more for the northern part of the township than the southern part, and I told them we might as well trash that as well be county or township wide or not at all. So basically what it comes down to, I've been able to get with them, and in this process we will actually have a reduction in trash bill.
From who? Local?
Young local, yes ma'am.
Okay.
I think currently we would save about $4 a month on, you know, the John, you know, the 50 group or whatever, yeah, and that.
Without the senior citizen discount.
Yeah. In other words, less than 60, I guess, of what I'm trying to say here. And on the seniors, we would actually have a decrease for them as well.
10%.
And, yeah, 10%, which would put it under $13 per month, which is probably about, I've had it figured like $180 a month cheaper than what they're now getting.
Plus the recycle bin.
Now, in addition to that, they will furnish you one of the, I don't know if anybody's seen them or not, but it's the red recycling bins. And the people that run around Grove City will see them all over down there, you know, free. So that'll be free of charge. That'll be furnished to you. And let's see what else. I can't remember what else.
Continuous pickup.
Yeah. Same day.
Well, no. The continuous pickup, even people that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get to that in a minute here. Let's see.
And local is offering all this?
Yeah.
It's still in that contract for that.
What it will be, Lisa, would be there is three
consortium
after this year in this consortium there.
I see.
They have got after they're into their second year on their contract now. So by me working through with these guys, they are allowing us to opt in a 3-year deal
on their deal,
which is when they're to make it consistent with theirs.
Okay.
So they were on a 5-year deal. We're opting in after the second year. You get me?
Yes, sir.
So right as it is right now, local will stay as is until January 1. Then.
Okay.
So that's the way it stands. Now, the one thing that local wanted to do is they agreed to all the pricing, they agreed to everything, but they won't to have township-wide pickup like was originally proposed, pick up everyone. And if they have non-payers, which they do have some, is let be guaranteed with the township to, you know, pay the bills and add it to their tax bill. And that's what Jackson Township, he told me, they've done that for 12 years and they have no trash problem, Jim.
Talk. Don't put me out on this one.
Well, no, the reason I'm looking at you, you know how much trash we chase out.
You know, and Ralph, you're absolutely right, but I guess, you know, I got a concern and a question on that because I'm one of your three department heads that we really have to watch our pennies.
You're right.
As do the three of you have to watch your pennies. And I guess, you know, Jackson Township, and, you know, don't scold me for speaking my mind, but Jackson Township is not in the financial distress that Franklin Township
right.
is in.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, and I'm thinking of the figures, local waste was in the hole about 80 grand here about a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can't imagine what it would be today, so I guess if I'm, like I said, don't scold me for speaking out of line, but if they were already $80,000 in the hole over a year ago,
yep.
where would they be at today and what they're expecting us to do then as a township?
Nobody would ever take care of local and try to do anything.
No, I'm just speaking my mind. I guess I'm trying to grasp, you know, this was something that came up before.
You know, and I would make it a point. The past regime here was cutting deals with everybody, making deals, exempting this one, exempting that, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm just...
I'm not asking for a vote on it tonight or anything.
No, I'm just asking a question, I guess, to understand, because I know you were staring right at me when you were talking about
it. Oh, I was thinking about her price.
So in other words, if I heard you correctly, local waste would want us to pay them for the unpaid...
Let me read. Four Don's going negative on me.
No, I'm just
looking at
you
it's
something.
From the past. Those were forgiven.
Basically, what would happen is if someone doesn't pay their trash bill, we would be notified that this trash bill is not paid. We would still pick up the trash. The township would potentially pay the bill. And then we turn around and do it like the House Bill 50 plus a fee.
On their taxes.
So once people realize that, hey, I'm going to pay either way, I don't know if that, you know, how that's going
to
work as far as how, I guarantee it's going to be $80,000 now when people realize
that's
going on their property.
That's where it was at before. That's where we would be at today.
What would happen now is everyone would be notified.
Okay.
And that, you know, you're going to, if you don't pay, it's going to go on your taxes. You trash, you just set it out there. If there's trash sitting at the curb, they're always going to pick it up. They're not going to cut anybody off. So majority of the issues that
Which would be a good thing.
Exactly. So they'll always pick up. It doesn't matter. The downside, no downside. Most of the township has rental property, a lot of rental property. This is going to make the owners of the rental properties be accountable instead of the residents, because that is where our problem, our core problem is.
That's when we have to go out.
So if we attack the owners by saying, you're going to pay this on your taxes, we're putting liens on your property, then they're going to pay it.
It's a pressure tactic.
Right.
It's a pressure tactic. But I guess I'm just...
The same tactic that... You know, your power companies use.
I'm not, by no means am I trying to stir a business.
You either pay your water bill. It doesn't matter who rents your house. The owner is responsible.
But the township doesn't pay the bill because they didn't.
My 24 rentals, I lived at.
Yep, absolutely.
My thing is, and I guess where I was headed with this, based on what you were saying,
right.
And it's because I know... I've been a department head for 9 years. This we talked about for a long time. So in other words, what we would do is we would use their taxpayer dollars to pay an unpaid trash bill and then put it on that person's who's not paying their trash bill's tax lien like I do House Bill 50.
But, you do the same thing. And what Jackson Township and the others do...
I'm just trying to grasp. I don't understand.
Yes. Yeah. What they do is they... bill them with a collection fee.
They tack on the fee, and when you get your, like your House Bill 50 money each year, then you would get the rest of the money back plus a fee.
So in other words, we are doing their
collection.
We're doing their collection for them.
Exactly.
So we're their bill collectors.
Not really.
Let me read a couple things here.
I'm just trying to understand.
Number
one says all residents must participate, no opt-out. So in other words, we have 200-300 residents right now that got an okay to take their trash to work. They will no longer get a chance to take their trash to work. They're going to have to pay
I don't know. You have to leave it up to the residents. If they want to save money,
let me finish.
Okay.
Number five, the township must guarantee payment to the hauler, contractor, local waste. If a resident doesn't pay their trash bill, the contractor must act as a collection agency as per the contract. Once the collection options are exhausted, the township must pay the contractor for services, and the township must go after the homeowner for reimbursement property lien. Now,
that's been brought up before.
This is exactly what Tim Guyton did, and this is in his writing.
Yep.
He wanted to hold back.
I'm not asking for a vote tonight.
Let me finish. Right here it is in his writing. He wanted the board to hold out $200,000.
We're not holding out anything.
Ralph, I'm talking. Let me finish. I'm telling you, in 2014, they wanted to hold $200,000 out because that's what they expected they was going to have to use of taxpayer money to pay local waste. Will you get that back? Eventually, you may get most of it back, but you're going to get it back in small pieces. If people don't pay their taxes, you won't get it back at all. Right now, I wouldn't be surprised we're over $200,000. I get calls all the time. People that have back, a renter didn't pay their bill. They got a $200 or $300 bill. Local waste won't pick up their trash until they pay the bill. They aren't going to pay the bill because the renter ran it up. If we sign this contract, you're going to have to pay the bill. And you won't get the money back.
And see, when local waste came to meet with us, that's what they wanted. They wanted $92,000 because that's how much they had been picking up trash and stuff, and we couldn't afford that.
We're muddy under waters, if I can clear it a little bit. We would not pay anything from a previous contract that where people didn't pay. If this was to go forward, it would be going into consortium as the other people. We would be able to opt in. Here's the conditions. This is what the other places are doing. We will let you come in. It saves the township people X amount of money, $3-$4, whatever it is. From that point forward, if no one pays their bill, then the township would pay it on a quarterly basis and then go after them like we do the House Bill 50, and with an additional fee of whatever it would be set at for administration fee. We would not go this going back 2 years ago, a year ago, someone didn't pay. We would be entering into a different contract, a new contract with the consortium that just so happens to be the same hauler.
Who would take care of all that administration?
The administration, what would end up happening is we would get a list from.
We would get a list from
local waste, and then we would have to determine, is that something we would have Aaron organize, or et cetera. I mean that I have. I'm just making clear so far what's going on this paper. You know, as Ralph said, he's not making this asking for a vote on it. The one thing that I would like to see, because I've got calls on this, is the bill to be due on the 6th, not the 30th. I wasn't aware that a lot of people are telling me, and I think it's a ploy, personally,
that they make it the 30th because then they get the $3 charge. If you have 5,000 people in the township that pay on a quarterly basis $3 because of a late fee, people that are on fixed incomes and that are on Social Security, their check doesn't come to the first. If it's Saturday or whatever, it may be the second or third. So by making the bill due date the 6th, that would give them the opportunity to have the money there.
Okay, just like our House Bill 50, when Jim cuts all this grass, last year he spent close to $40,000. And then we assessed those taxes. Last year we only brought in about $6,000 of that recovery of the almost $40,000.
Well,
so now if we start paying that bill,
but that's
it's
going to
trickle
Lisa.
In again.
The $40,000 that she's talking about is when we add in man hours and etc.
Yeah.
And realistically, our people are already paid. I'm talking about.
Don't let go ahead.
Our manpower is already paid and etc. The thing about this is, no one really knows for sure. It's worked for other places. So either the way this is going to work is either you're definitely for it or you're definitely against it. You know, no matter what I sit up here and say, one person is going to be for it, the other person is going to have different ways of looking at it. But the end result is the township would rid itself as a trash problem, as Jim can contest to, where there's trash on the corners, then we have to send out a letter and then wait, and then we still end up sending a House Bill 50 out to try to collect for the trash that is sitting there. This way, any trash that is sitting there is going to end up being picked up, no matter what. Yes, it's our responsibility as the township to go after those people, just like Jim sends and puts a lien on their property. A majority of these properties, like I said, that are we're seeing this problem, is rental property. The last thing the owners that rental property want is a lien on their property threatening them to potential share sale or whatever it would go to. I don't know exactly what it would escalate to. By notifying people ahead of time of saying, you know, this is what it's going to, you're going to have to pay, I think the numbers would be down. Is there going to be numbers of people that are not going to want to pay? Absolutely. But is it going to make us have a cleaner township and people not just throwing stuff out at the curb and not picking it up? I think it would make a big difference.
Well, I know it would.
So I know it's going to be open for debate, more talk, more people bringing in questions and answers. But I think we all need to try to keep an open mind both ways. I'm finished.
Getting back to where he was talking about the hourly rate that we pay and the four, that is irrelevant. The bottom line was dollars. $40,000. $40,000, $49,000, what was it you said you had?
For House Bill 50s?
Yeah.
It was almost $40,000.
Okay, $40,000. That's where it's at the bottom line. It's not a matter of how much actual dollars we spent on that. It's actual dollars, $40,000 we got back, $6,000. So if we put $100,000 out of our fund to pay local waste, we may only get back $15,000.
And that's a good point.
It's a possibility.
That's
local waste
right.
Has got a 20% non-participation rate, and it's mostly from renters. And if the property owners are made responsible for their bill collection, and I mean it's up to them to, you know, write it in. And most jurisdictions right now have a deal where they bill in their successful bills, trash, and so on to the renter.
I'm next. My arm went up first.
Go ahead.
I have a question. I'm in the audience.
Okay. First of all,
I know, he's fine.
I want to apologize to everybody because I sure as hell didn't mean to get a big old bee's nest all fired up and everybody arguing. My biggest concern was when this is brought up before, because I deal with the House Bill 50 with you and I know how the recuperations
right.
are And I know what the percentage is extremely low.
Right.
And my biggest concern was because this has been a horse that has been kicked around and beat around
right.
so many times. And that big $80,000 number was sitting out there, but you clarified that's no longer to play.
Right.
Just moving forward is a different story.
Yeah.
So, because you were staring right at me when you were talking, and
no,
I was
I'm
thinking,
just thinking about cleaned up trash.
I would be the first to contest that we go out and we pick up a lot of trash when renters are being set out to the curb and stuff gets scattered all over the place, and it's extra work for me. Just give me a second.
But this is the same thing. This is the same thing. John set out there and hired an attorney, and fought this because he didn't agree with the township paying local waste.
Okay.
No.
I'm not the fiscal officer.
That wasn't true.
I'm now a resident.
Wait a minute. He made a comment about me hiring an attorney, which was correct. I spent money in hiring an attorney, and when this first came up, it was not because of that. That is false. I'll bring it in. I'll be happy to show the outlay of it and et cetera. What it was brought up was because my choice of being able to pick, because I had my own trash company, and I was happy with them, and I was as a citizen, how can you tell me that I can't? That's why I got an attorney, because I felt my rights as a citizen saying that it was mandated that I no longer pick my trash company. So let's not tell me what I'm the one that paid for the attorney. I know
you didn't pay for all that attorney.
No, I didn't pay for
You're
all.
Right.
There was other people that
I gave you money for, and several other people in the audience gave you money for it.
Okay. Bless you for doing what you did.
So,
but
with the attorney, I'm the one that hired attorney. I'm the one that went to the attorney. I'm the one's name that was under that as far as what is it that I want. And what it basically came down to, an attorney said, this is as far as we can take it unless you wish to take it to court. Because from this point forward, there's nothing to do. And the only thing you could do is sue the township. I left it at that.
Okay. And earlier, when Chief Smith was standing up here, Mr. Cheney said we needed more officers, why can't we use the general fund money? And we said no. But now we want to use money from the taxpayers to pay other people's bills. It don't make no sense.
That's what I said.
You're
why
not
going
to be using money to make pay other people.
But you're right. The thing
because
is,
we're making them whole.
We're not even voting on this. This
and
is
then
one.
We have to go after
this
them.
Is only one thing that was brought. Someone else bring something else. Don, bring something else to the table. This is just something that was brought to the table. If we stayed with local waste, how could we save money?
Yep.
We can talk about this till midnight.
Exactly.
It's not going to a vote. This is only, we've got time until our contract is up next year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And our attorney says that this is a bad deal. You should not
go
with it.
Your attorney told you that it was a business decision.
He says it's a bad deal.
So my thing
be
is,
renegotiate. I have
I'm
asked,
just hearing Ralph
I have
out
asked
what
everybody,
research.
I have asked everybody for
on?
The last 2 months or better to bring all the things that you've got, your problems
now,
against local waste. Let me finish, Ralph.
Okay, go ahead.
We ask everybody to bring all your questions you had about local waste and your problems, and we would sit down together, we would go over them, look at the contract, have their attorney rewrite the contract and put it out for negotiations. Meanwhile, you've been back there negotiating and didn't tell anybody you was doing it.
He said in a meeting I would have it.
In a meeting I would do it.
Yeah, because you kept asking me. He said he was working on
it. He said he was going to bring it to the next meeting. So far, he has never brought it.
Let me tell you something.
You have never brought it to the meeting.
Well,
and you have been negotiating.
Two of these companies I talked to, I said, screw you, Franklin Township. We don't want to deal with you.
Now you guys,
I'm done with the meeting. Is there any questions from the audience?
No, let me finish here. I'm talking right now.
I do. Because with this trash stuff, you're saying most of these, or some majority of these that are delinquent or whatever, are renters. Well, this is going to take care of it. I personally, however many years ago, I didn't want to do it either.
Right.
I had a guy that picked my trash up. I loved him.
Yeah, I did too.
He picked it up every Monday. Yep. You know, I just like clockwork.
Right.
Now I get this mess. You're sitting there saying you ask us for months that you wanted this stuff. One time, I've been here since February. Every meeting, I have asked them, but you never ask us.
No,
it's my turn to talk. You're telling everybody else to shut up. It's my turn to talk. You ask us once to do this, and it's not in the newsletter. Our website isn't up to date where we can see this information. So how are we as citizens supposed to know that?
I didn't say,
of the residents.
I didn't say I asked you. I asked these.
No, you also asked the. You also asked us to do it, but you never said when.
And I've asked the trustees to bring all your things you have questions on, and let's sit down and rewrite the contract to the way we want it written for the residents.
And that's what we're talking today, is we're bringing an idea. We didn't say we're going with this.
Yeah.
This was one option.
Well, so are there other companies out there willing to do this?
Let's go back and let's move on. Forget that. Any questions? Robin, you had a question?
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add is I'm like analyzing everything that's being said in comparison to the current, like thinking through Lisa's lens, you know, trying to think about the dollars. Comparing the current House Bill 50 as it is, and this is just me, we're mowing grass to a lot of vacant yards, vacant lots, people that live in California, people that live out of state.
Right.
That grass is going to grow no matter what.
Right.
There's nobody really accountable to the grass. Right. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to keep mowing and we're going to have to keep paying for it. People are generating the trash. So there's a cause for the trash. So you've got some accountability because there's somebody in that property, on that house, generating the trash versus part of, not all, but part of the House Bill 50 are vacant lots. Like you can chase you can chase an owner down to California, but that grass is going to keep growing. If you call that homeowner on that rental and you say, you better do something with your trash, either the renter's coming out, the trash is moving. I'm just throwing that out there as a comparison to the current House Bill 50 statistics.
The homeowner needs to be responsible for it, not the renter.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying that you call the, or you look up the owner, and you say that there's trash generating on your property, and it's not being accounted for, you've got a person that's actually generating the trash. Right. That's what I'm saying, is if we're picking it up, and they're saying, hey, we're picking up, say they're picking up at my house, 3347 Dover Road, we're going there every day, every week, and we're picking up trash. There's people in that house generating that trash. A vacant lot, that grass is going to grow. You know what I'm saying? There's a little difference in...
It's hard to compare apples to apples when it's set.
It's not going to be equal
balance. About all of this
as far as Lisa's lens, there's going to be an expense.
Right.
And we have
we just
to identify...
don't know what it would be.
Like, what are we willing to
exactly.
do? And that's what is money that we are going to have to... Are we willing to do that as a board? That's all I'm saying.
I get
the renter's house. I think if it's somewhere where somebody's renting, if you contact the actual owner of the house and say, look, we're going to put a lien on your house, your property, immediately.
Absolutely.
If you don't make them, or you pay us, or they pay us, then
and that's exactly what we would do.
I think that homeowner is going to either A, get their money and get it paid, or they're going to get rid of the renter.
Exactly.
Most of your homeowners, you'll have some that won't, and still you'll still be fighting, but most of them will go ahead and pay it because...
And the end result is we have a cleaner township.
Right, but I mean, if you don't go after the homeowner, you know, immediately, you got to get out of hand, and then you're going to have the problem. But,
and Tim, that's the same thing at Jackson Township did.
Do you think maybe we could attack it like this, as the financial is? We call Mr. Smith and say, you're $600 in the rears and picking up trash. You're responsible for it. Either you come and pay here at the front desk.
It wouldn't be that.
And it could be automatically put into our coffers. We wouldn't have to have the fees from the county taking out their fees to put it on our tax stuff.
Well,
there's
the trash issue is a whole new thing that needs to be in another special meeting just to discuss trash.
One of the things that I think that we should do, and that we would owe it to our township to do, is, as Robin was saying, it's a whole different issue when you talk about House Bill 50 with grass growing versus, and you're chasing down a bank that owns it instead of someone else, is to start looking at other townships and see, does it work for them, and how much do you put out? There's a lot of townships in Ohio.
Are there ones of our size and our financial status?
Right. I think that there should, I think that, you know, we should owe it to the residents to compare apples to apples instead of apples to oranges. And see, I don't know what they're going to say. They may come back and say it's the worst thing ever. Or they may come back and say, we had the same thing you had. People didn't like it. The board, half of them liked it, half of them didn't. At least we would be able to find out whether or not it's either good for the township or it wouldn't be bad for the township. Because let's face it, people are people. If it's very difficult to get the money, we're going to see other townships going, hey, there was no way that we could get our money back.
Well, we're not going to solve this tonight.
No, okay, we just need a special meeting. It needs to really be put out.
I'll second that motion.
We're not going to adjourn.
Are we going to adjourn?
No, we are not going to adjourn.
We just got
The gentleman in the back would like to talk to the board.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
No, I didn't know.
I'm happy to talk to you after your
Well, you well, have to have it in a regular meeting.
I can't do it. So we're...
You have to talk now if you want to talk.
Well, yes, we're not going to adjourn the meeting, but we would like to be able to talk to Al by ourselves.
It's a long time.
Believe me, it's just something.
You're doing a beautiful job.
Well, thank you.
Well, if it's nothing hidden, why can't we stay?
You can stay. I welcome it.
I'm not handsome.
Huh?
Well, I mean, he's telling us we have to leave, but it's not hidden from anybody. So, and we're not going to see these minutes for 6 months, so we won't know.
Go ahead.
Well, for you rather wait and have an executive session?
No. I came down because I think I owe it to you guys.
Okay.
That I come down. I haven't met the new township trustee. Mr. Horn is an individual I've known for some years. Mr. Cook is an individual like myself. He's unreconstructed. And so we go back a long time. And but it's a pleasure to be here in Franklin Township. To be frank with you, this is the best display of America in action, I believe, anywhere in Ohio. Whether we like it or not, this is fabulous to be here to see people take it out, have it out, talk. This is America. And this is, townships are very important. So anyway, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to work with you. We in industry are very pleased that you, that some way, you reached out to industry that's here by you. We have set aside my time to work on this water problem. I've been up today. I created the documents that you got today, which cast this water, or the lack of ability to get water, as a state project, a state problem, not your own problem. I've been up to Perry Township and gave them copies. I went over to Prairie Township and gave them copies. Their township administrator was very interested in going through the book and took a lot of notes, etc. Type of affair. I've waited to talk to Representative Duffy, who is spearheading some effort here, but he's going to need some help in the Senate on this bill, hopefully to get some attention to get water. I'm not lost with the people in the Senate. They're people that we customarily go and work with on various projects. So we're looking forward to trying to put all of our abilities at your disposal to give the residents a better champion on the field of battle. And if there's any questions that you would like to ask me, I think one of the things that I learned today is everybody seems to agree that I talked with today at the townships that I've been to, that it was not an item that I put in this report, so I thought I would save it, but we believe that the city holding back water service when they have a contract to, that they're reneging on, has hurt all the townships financially and also economically, economic growth, and that's a state issue. So if you, anybody's got any ideas as to what should, to better what I did, or somebody that we should talk to and get some, you'll see those are true stories in that document, okay? So that's the way I operate. I operate from facts. That's the way we're taught to operate in our industries. So if there's anybody out here that's got some facts or you learned us some facts, we'd be glad to add it to our list, because the more facts we have to deal with the senators and things like this, the better they like it.
So what are you doing now? You lobbying for?
Well, I'm letting you know that I think we've got a good case, as they say. Okay, I think we've got a case that we can get. If we get the right senators looking at it,
right.
I think that they're going to warm up to it. Okay, so the next step is to go up and start working in that direction.
And
last night I was at Sharon Township and of course met Mrs. Duffy. She was quite interested and really quite excited about what I brought her. Mm-hmm. And so we're trained to work as teams.
Right.
So I need to talk to him. But there's a lot of senators I've already told him I'm going to come up and talk to him, but I didn't tell him why. Mm-hmm. So we just want to make sure that we don't do the wrong thing as much as do something
right.
So we're all coordinated. But that's what our next move is, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, I'm personally a little bit vague on that, because I got this email, and I really didn't even know what it was for a minute there. What is this? And it took me a few days to figure out even what it was.
Basically what it is there's a contract from 1956 that states
I didn't notice that on the email.
All right. You can explain it. This township is very unique,
right.
in many respects, and in fact, this whole issue of getting the city to provide water to townships is the best place to make that case for Sharon Township or Perry Township is actually Franklin Township and Prairie. Okay.
Right.
And that's because the city has two obligations as to water. The first obligation is that they have a contract uniquely with not the township directly, but the county commissioners that benefits what is known as the Franklin 4 Sewer Service District.
Okay.
And that service district includes New Rome, Lincoln Village, and the residual part of Franklin Township that was unincorporated as of 1953.
Exactly.
Okay? That's where that stands. So the first contract starts in 53. It ended in 93. It was extended for another 15 years. And then thereafter, it goes for each
3 years.
3 years. A individual, specifically, the administrator over at Prairie Township emailed Mr. Renner and asked him what his opinion is as to the status of this contract, along with a couple of other questions. And he came back and said this contract will continue to be automatically renewed. And it has. That's the way it's set up. It automatically renews unless somebody gives 3 years notice to the other party. Now, let me give you some more facts here. In the beginning, in time gone by, there was the county. The county owned the roads. Jackson Pike starts in 1850. It's a privately built road from the Trap Turnpike, which you call Mound Street,
right.
All the way to the county line. That's how Jackson was built, with private funds. But it was built under the auspices of the county. It became the county property at a time in the past. Frank Road is also a petition road, okay? Mr. Frank lived on the road. He lived across the street from Mr. Miller. Those pieces of property are now at where 71 is and where Frank Road collides into it. Frank is on one side, Miller was on the other, okay? And they started that road by a petition. those roads reverted to the county. They were given to the county, all right? Jackson Pike, they actually spent money on it. They then got that money back, and then it ultimately became public property. So the county owned all of these rights away. They owned water lines at one time. Some of those water lines were 2-inch lines.
Yeah.
Some were 3, some were 4, okay? I've had to spend a lot of hours up reading the commissioner's notes from the 40s and 30s. It's quite interesting, okay? But you learn just how fragile this whole infrastructure business was at one time, 2-inch lines.
Yeah.
There is in this township a 1.5-inch line that goes from the Jackson Pike sewer plant under I-71.
Right.
Now, would you believe that? Think about that, okay? And it was put in 1930s and then renewed in the 1960s. So anyway, the county sat down with the city and said, listen, we've got a fragile water and sewer operation. You guys have got a little bit more dramatic water and sewer line. Why don't you come out here in the townships and we'll do some horse trading. We'll let you put your water lines in our roads, and for that, you give us water to our citizens. And that's what this township, that's what this Franklin Four Sewer District sewer contract does, and that's what the water contract does. It's a barter agreement, okay? That's one of the contracts. Then we have a unique group of people who, specifically among others, there's a group of people who live on Harmon Avenue and on Frank Road that in the 1964-65, the city actually gave them a deed of easement because they put a big, huge water line down Frank Road, down to Brown Road, from Opon Harmon, Brown to Greenlawn. And they did that on private property. They didn't have the right to be there. And then they gave water rights to those individuals. In 2016, I sent representatives of a person, of a company, who had that water right to the city, and the city says, we did that years ago, that's too old, we're not going to honor that contract. And what they've said to you since about 2007 is, we're not going to honor our written contract called Franklin IV. So we got them dead to rights on that. And I hope that that will sell when we tell that story before the legislature.
And then one of the biggest things that has hurt us where this contract should have been in place is the casino should have never been annexed into the city of Columbus.
Absolutely.
All the businesses that were forced.
And please don't let this school over here get annexed into the city.
It's already done.
They already did it.
We have no say. We can't stop.
It's not annexed.
Not yet?
No, they haven't annexed that school property yet.
We can't. I thought that they already did that.
Sometimes you have to alert people. I'm going to tell you this. Right now, our effort here is we're not looking to broadcast it. So I don't know that we would want to go over and tell these people they're going to have water tomorrow. But let me say this to you. I'm working as hard as and fast as I can. Yesterday, to the credit of Melissa, Melissa started typing on this document, unfortunately, about 9:30 because her computer that she typed it on at home didn't perform and wouldn't print it out when she got here. We didn't get it typed until 3:30. I went to Kinko's from 3:30 to 7 o'clock to make all the exhibits and got it up to Sharon in time to go to the deal. So that's the kind of dedication we've got. We've got dedication here within you guys. We have dedication with your staff. And to be frank with you, I think that Franklin Township is going to end up being the real cavalry that rides in at the last minute to help this whole project from a standpoint of a state perspective. But we're hoping to move this as fast as we can, and I need to be able to look at some people's eyes up there, and they're going to tell me, Al, this doesn't stand a chance. Or they're going to tell me, we're going to go with it. And so I'd like to find that out just as fast as possible.
So is it possible if legislation says we have to stick with this and stuff, what about all of the annexed
people that were forced to go to the city for
their
water.
Have you been reading my mind? You can't do anything about it according to the state statute. Let me tell you this. State statute says you can't de-annex. It's a very laborious process. Okay, I've already looked at this at our expense several years ago. What I'd like to see the legislature do is in this document, whatever we do with this water, assuming that we can get the water deal, is they give the townships, I don't know, year, 2 year. If you want to de-annex, all you have to do is file a piece of paper and $1, and you can de-annex.
Just like they do when they go out. You go down, you get the paper. I've got the paper here that you can annex.
A lot of people won't do it, though.
Really? You think they would?
I mean, you don't know. You have to talk to businesses. Business will, because you're going to get...
Taxes will be lower.
Taxes are going to be lower, okay?
Yeah, that's certainly.
I could come in here and complain to Mr. Horn and pound on the table.
Yeah.
If I go downtown, I got to go past the guards and check my...
Absolutely.
This is America.
Yeah.
The thing that I've got a question on that I would wonder if a judge would rule that how... I'm going to use the word deception, especially when they went in and said when the groundbreaking first happened with the casino, it was township property, township was there, it was a township groundbreaking. As they started on the project, then they had to shut down because they said they're not going to be allowed on a hook on water and sewer. So then everything came to a halt. The casino started checking for drilling, checking for septic because they wanted to stay in the township. So eventually they came to the conclusion that cost-wise and et cetera, they would annex into the city in order to get water and sewer. My question would be, what does the city, as far as damages, do they owe the township because of taxes that we have not been able to incur, as well as other businesses that they have done the same thing that told them they had to annex into the city when actually they do not have to?
Well, there's any number of properties, and I can speak for several of those, okay, which we were told in the, pick a date, 70s, 40s, whatever time, annex and we'll get utilities. They've yet to see any water, and they've yet to see any sewer.
Right. For the taxes that the township have lost occurred over that time period, there would have to be restitution made to the township to bring them whole
deceptive
for things that they did when they clearly signed active contract and they've ignored it.
Well,
nor can you find it if you go downtown.
Mr. Cook and I talked the other day. I don't mean to say that's such of such specialty, but let's put it this way. He made me go down and get my latest 2017 who's who in the legislature, okay? So that was a good deal. But he brought up Mr. Sykes, who I think was an individual that played a little bit of a hand in the casino thing, okay? Mr. Sykes is out of Cincinnati. He's somebody that we've done some fundraising for, okay? So he's not somebody who's going to say, Al, I've never seen you before, okay? I don't know what he's going to say, all right? But I think this is the time for this call to come together. One of the things that I'm learning by going out and talking to you gentlemen, and at this township, honored to be here, and to be honored last night to be at Sharon Township, and to be hosted at Perry last week, is that nobody is taking notes on all the opportunities. So one of the things I'm trying to do is to get all of the ideas out here. Okay, there's some discussion that maybe there's some law that relates to this, but nobody has taken it to the next level to make sure it is. So we've got a number of questions that need to be asked and a number of opportunities, okay? I told this to Mr. Cook, so I'll tell it to the rest of y'all. As he and I talked the other day, you can't have water and sewer at that Fisher Guide plant out there
for 50 years.
For 50 years, right. And it ain't so.
Yeah.
It suddenly ain't so. This
the truth of the matter is that the casino, whether they wanted to be in the township, I'm not sure about that. But what they really wanted was they wanted police protection. And they didn't seem to be able to get that from the township.
There also was a $3 million host fee that ended up going to Blue Jackets, but that's that. Had that $3 million went to the township as a host fee, we could have supplied that police that we needed. That was just the host fee.
Well, I didn't cry as maybe as much as somebody else in this township, but I certainly had some wet tears on how it all came out.
Yeah.
Because we are township boosters. I mean, I sit here as a representative of over 400 acres that's never going to go anyplace except into the township. And we made that decision many years ago. This is our community. I've never told this to you, and I've never told this to Torn, but as you know, you have a construction and demolition landfill over here.
Yeah.
I was instrumental in rewriting the state rules on C&D landfills. One of the things that came out of that was the fact that there was a fee that had to go be paid, a very ton or cubic yard, that went to the EPA. And part of that fee went to also EPA and also the health department. So about a year after that, or thereabouts, we went back to the legislature and said, you know something? I got a little township down there. They're cleaning up my road.
Yeah.
They're fixing it up.
Right.
We need some money for the townships.
Yeah.
So we here in township, in this township, because we believe in boosting this township, we went back to the legislature and made this available for every township in the state that has a C&D landfill.
Right.
And I was very, very, very pleased to know that your road gentleman knew that he was getting some money out of that facility over there.
Yep.
That's
yep.
what we. So that's. Yep. And Mr. Cook knows, for example, back in, because you had been around,
right.
back about 92, there was a windstorm here in Franklin Township
right.
that was really tore up things. Well, our business group that's down here, we cleaned this place up for 2 weeks at no cost.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Well, we did. Actually, John Circle called us and said, Al, we can't get off the public right-of-way. Can we get industry to make that leap from the public right-of-way?
Right.
Chief Castle was here. It was we had 20 people working on to the east of Brown Road. We had 20 people working to the west of Brown Road. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a pleasure to be working with the
What
township.
Year was that windstorm?
About 92 or roughly in that area, okay?
Yeah. Really bad in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Because Grove City, about everyone got a new roof.
But this is something you're working on yourself, and you really don't want anyone else to messing with you.
We need to keep quiet so it doesn't alert people.
Well, I would say that.
I mean, you'll take suggestions, but you want to head up, and you want to do the work on it.
That would be
right.
true. I think that's
right.
a good way to put it, Mr. Cook.
Right.
I would ask that we not go to the press, for example. Okay.
Right.
There's going to be a right time. I don't know what the right time is, okay?
Right.
I'm trying to find out the right time. This is a scat right now. The key thing here is Mr. Duffy has got a bill in the state legislature, okay, that's going to force the city's hands. What we need to do is to put this document that I created, that you created, it's actually your experience that I kind of put it together in a document, I put it in their hands so that they would be able to justify that they're taking this action. Well, Duffy, why are you taking this action? Why are we doing this? Well, here's the true story. You know, Bill shot Jill, okay? So let's get that story out,
right.
okay? At the same time, I'm not so sure that we're well organized. When I say we, in other words, four townships, okay?
Right.
And what does organization look like?
Yeah.
I don't know what that looks like yet, but I'm trying to find out.
Yeah.
So. Best way to find out is, what does the legislature think about this?
Right.
Well, we've never heard of this, Al.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, then we need to do something so they will hear about it, okay?
Well, obviously you know that all new people that's down in the state, the old
It's horrible.
People, yeah.
It's horrible.
The older folks are
retired or long gone or whatever.
It's like I told the administrator at Prairie Township. If this was 4 years ago when Batchelder from Cincinnati was House Speaker, I could have made a phone call and this problem would have been taken care of.
Yeah.
One phone call.
Well, one thing I was concerned about a little bit, and I haven't even looked this over, but I did see that 1953 deal. I also saw, I think, an expiration date or a finality date of this year, end of this year.
Actually, it's 18. It continues to roll.
Until they stop it.
Oh, okay.
Well, they have to do it. It takes 3 years to stop it.
It's a 3-year notice. Okay. And that's why the 3 years is in there, among other things. There's two reasons of 3 years. Everything goes up. You guys are experiencing that yourself right here tonight. Okay, everything goes up. Water and sewer goes up. So every 3 years, you have to think about, we need an increase in water rates for the townships. We need an increase for sewer rates in the township. That's what that's for.
Yep.
That's not to get out of it. And that goes, the city has conveniently forgotten that they took over for free, haven't paid a dime, the township and the county's rights away, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have given them this, okay?
Yeah.
But they're supposed to give me something back.
Exactly.
And they don't always like to remember that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we, the township, we the people, all rural areas has just threw up their hands and surrendered to Columbus, basically, is what they did.
And WRONG.
And really, when that all happened, now you remember Mayor Sensenbrenner, and he was probably the killer of small government around here, if you really think about it, or the one that hurt it when he started that.
He and Hap Cremeen.
Yep.
Hap Cremeen. Hap Cremeen is the actual individual that came up with the brilliant idea.
Yep.
From their perspective.
Yep. Yep.
We'll own this town.
Yep.
By utilities.
Absolutely. And they figured out a way, and the way they held up the rural areas was
exactly right. Water. But what they didn't realize is this. When they make this township weak, they ultimately weaken the city.
They did.
You have to have, you cannot have a stove that will cook if one burner will never get the fire going, okay?
Absolutely.
You've got to have all burners on blue flame.
Yeah.
And that's where they forgot. Greed.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, the big thing.
Say amen.
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 Well.
So this is something that you can understand. He's waiting for the right opportune time, so to not go out and press and neighbors and all that, because
we have to hit
it could give
time.
Them the heads up to do something to stop it.
Yep.
So we just need to let him do his work and wait for the right opportunity, and he will get it done, hopefully, and he'll let us know what's happening.
Exactly right. We try to keep them down here tonight so they inform you. Okay. Pleasure.
Oh. Make a motion to adjourn.
Thanks.
Can you second, please?
Second.
Yes. Don?
Todd? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
Oh.